the bad news? Without the news, which is full of bad news, it always is. Some of which wasn't actually that bad, but it's just frustrating. Victoria Beckham says that she... What was the phrase that she used? I was only half listening to the news. They said that her new home cost $22 million, and she says that she quite likes it. It is, I think she said, totally major. Well, at least she's picking up the lingo over there pretty quickly. Totally major.
Maybe she has buyer's remorse.
I very much doubt it. Well, you mean that she's saying that to cover up the fact that she actually hates it over there?
Mm.
She misses...
The
weather?
Other house?
The weather. How annoying is that? That apart from anything else, that would make the news. Who wouldn't be happy with a £22 million house? Pounds, dollars? What a pound will get, a dollar will get, right? Hey! I just find that really quite... annoying.
It's very annoying.
I mean, it's like saying, I've just won £35 million on the lottery. It's quite nice. It's not the sort of thing you want to hear, really. Keep your opinions to yourself, dear. Oh, by the way, I am not Ian Lee.
Oh, no!
First call on mobile. How come I pressed it and it just goes grey? Already I'm screwing it up. Here's another one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Is that Nick?
Yes, it is.
Oh, honey, how you there, mate?
All right.
With regards to this bloody lottery winner who won £35 million, I mean, it was so somber. I heard this on Sky News earlier today. They said they were delighted. And just to pick up a point, what you said, I mean, I think you'd be more than delighted if you have more than enough money which you could help other people with, don't you?
Help other people with?
Well, I mean, you could share it around. You could, you know, donate to charities and whatever.
Oh, yeah, right. That's what I'd do with it.
You're in £500,000 for yourself, probably, to live comfortably.
I'm sure that that's what you would do, yeah.
What do you mean, you muppet?
£35 million, you get about £3.5 million a year in tax, if you put it, you know, because there's all those giant accountancy firms in the city. They do nothing but to figure out how people can avoid paying tax, which is why all the mugs in the middle are the only ones that, Helen, the only ones that are actually doing it. So you get £3.5 million in interest without actually doing anything. How fantastic would that be? And then you could give that to charity or whatever it might be.
That's lovely. Did you ever see, just going back to the Camelot win, did you ever see a programme about Camelot winners? Lottery winners?
I didn't realise that I actually found this chap. Do we know that for true?
I don't know.
Right. It sounds like you're on the verge of feeding back.
Hang on.
How can you hear me with your headphones off? You are a spooky lady.
Because I can.
Because you can.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad you explained that to
me. I can hear you.
Now it makes much more sense.
You sound tinny, but I can hear you.
Right, why don't you put your headphones on, dear?
Because look at the side, look at that. They're massive.
Well, no one can see you.
I know.
I mean, look at me.
Well...
I didn't exactly dress up to come in here,
You've got a bigger head than me.
Oh, that's nice. Well, apparently that makes me much more attractive than people with smaller heads. and that news was greeted with scorn and derision. I'll come on to that in a minute. Men's attractiveness is dependent on measuring rulers, once again. Isn't that a surprise? Here is another one. Hello. Hello. Much better when we weren't taking calls, wasn't it? So where's Ian now? Where's he gone now?
I don't know.
No one ever knows.
No, I've slightly lost, because he says many, many things, and I've slightly lost what he's said recently.
He's like a mystery man. Does he actually exist?
He's just part-time now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
I'm filling in for his show more than he's actually doing it himself.
I know, he's doing 3 weekdays for the next few weeks,
I think. Blimey, that's nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
3 over the next 3 weeks?
Something like... Well, are you in for when he's off?
Not by that amount.
Oh.
Not to my knowledge. Or am I? Oh, yeah, next week is heavy duty, because I think I'm doing Clive next week, and another show on the same day at another place.
Rock and roll!
Wow.
For 5 days running, I'll be on the air for 7 hours a day.
5?
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, it's ka-ching.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. More than it is now. Yes. It's ka-ching-er.
It keeps it going, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then
yeah.
You can have 7 days off the week after.
No, apparently not.
Oh.
I just tried to book a holiday in September, and I sort of asked around and said, hey, you don't need me, because it's, you know, months ahead. You don't need me on this week, do you? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, next month.
We'll need you to come in on this week. And so I can never actually go away. I'm the only person who takes any holidays. It's been years since I took a holiday.
September.
I know, isn't it?
It's only next month.
Isn't that depressing?
Wait till October. Go in reading week in October.
Go in what?
Reading week.
What's that? Hold that thought. I'm keen to find out. Hello, Ali.
Hi, how are you?
All right, thanks.
Just wanted to say, the guy that fell off his horse in a crocodile swamp...
Yes.
And then had two sandwiches up in a tree...
Yes.
Is that really doable? Is it possible to stay alive in the Australian heat?
Well, the story said that during the day he had running water. I don't understand how that's possible.
I don't know.
Where would you get running water up a tree?
Not sure. Unless he siphoned it out from the crocodile swamp, I have no idea. I just don't believe the story. 6 days in there, and then Paul Ross was saying earlier he should have had a mobile phone. I don't know if you have a mobile network that works in Australia.
No. Oh, well, I wouldn't think in the bush, no. I'm surprised that they work up mountains. Perhaps they put masts up mountains in case people, you know, yomp up there in their slippers and shorts in the middle of February, and the only thing they take with them is their mobile phone.
And then they've got the Aborigines that try and help them. I mean, are the Aborigines like the AA of Australia?
Yes,
Aborigine?
In much the same way as dolphins will push you to shore if you're stuck at sea. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you been okay?
I'm fine, mate, yes.
I was just giving you an update also. I'm going to Transylvania and helping.
You're going to Transylvania?
Yeah. Oh. I called earlier one time and I told you about it.
Why are you going to Transylvania?
Because it goes to Vegas and New York and Dubai. And I've been to those places and I just think that Transylvania would be the place to be.
Oh, right. Las Vegas, Dubai, Transylvania. Oh. I think that's where Chanel have got shops. It's written on their bag.
Yeah, but it's just that I'm just going to go and see if there are... vampires and stuff?
Transsexual, transvestites
vampires.
From Transylvania, yeah. I see.
I'll give you an update.
Mate, all right, I can't wait. Remember to take pictures. Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.
Ta-da.
This is LBC. I'm Nick Abbott in for Ian, who is absent with or without leave. Nobody's really sure. No one's got any idea where he's gone. Probably telly. He's chasing telly money, right? He's got the pound signs in his eyes. Yeah. Leaving us in the dust.
He keeps telling me what he's doing, but I still don't understand. Something about a sketch show.
He's doing a sketch show.
and that's as far as I get.
Right, well, maybe his vast listening audience will know. Hello?
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 Hello. I'm sorry, am I...
on the air, yeah.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great.
You're making my evening great.
There's the pleasantries out of the way.
No, you really are. It's wonderful to hear... such a variety of opinions about a variety of things.
Yeah, in the first 13 minutes. The stuff we've talked about, eh?
No, brilliant. Love it.
All right, thanks a lot. Was that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Hello, is that Nick Ferrari?
Yeah, Nick is earning extra money by doing breakfast and the show in the evening. No, it's my name's Nick Abbott, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologise.
Well,
no, I really do apologise.
It's not your fault.
No, I've been working and I've been doing stuff and I didn't realise...
Oh, stuff.
Because I just love listening to him. He's great. But you're great. You made me ring in.
I did?
Yeah.
About what?
I think it's wonderful.
Oh, okay.
How you conduct the show.
Thanks a lot, whoever your name... What's your name?
Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Would you like me to say anything else?
Well, what else would you like to say?
About Victoria Beckham.
Okay, Victoria Beckham. That's the reason that you called in. Finally,
well,
we get
no.
there. Go on, then.
No. Would you like me to be honest?
About Victoria?
About what I feel?
About Victoria?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Might be a bit naughty, but I think she milks everything and she makes people look on their lives from the wrong perspective.
How do you mean?
She looks magnificent, sometimes.
Yeah. It's amazing what having £100 million in the bank
exactly.
will do to your appearance.
And the guys were on about, how she's so happy in a £22 million house. Well, darling, I live in a, two up, two down cottage in a place which is lovely. I do like it, and I've got a lovely garden.
Where is it? You don't have to tell me exactly.
Bucks.
Bucks? Well, that sounds a delight.
No, it is. It's lovely. And my husband's done a really nice garden. But she's really...
Did you nag him till he did it?
No, I didn't, sweetheart.
Oh, right.
No, he's got really good... He's really great. He's a builder. And he,
He's a handyman.
He...
Well, that's handy.
When we moved in here, it was nothing.
Right.
It was just lawn and paving stones, and it was just boring. But I'll tell you what, you're welcome to come and have a look.
I'll be over after the show.
It's beautiful.
What's for dinner?
You can have some nice chicken and coriander and chilli.
Okay, no, that'll do.
He's built this garden, it's gorgeous.
And no nagging involved?
No.
Wow.
No, not at all.
Well, you've got yourself a live one there, Anne.
No, he's done a really good job. But anyway, back to Victoria.
Yeah.
She annoys me. She really does annoy me.
Yeah, well, join the club, Anne. I think she annoys everybody.
She is saying she's happy in a £22 million
yeah.
house.
Who wouldn't be?
How dare she say otherwise?
Yeah. Phil Spector, for a start. Anyway, Anne, I'm past the break, but thanks very much. All right.
Oh, OK.
Cheers, my dear. Ta-ta. Enjoy your garden with your husband's compliments. It's 7:16. Here's Travel Now with Alan Joyce.
Thanks, Nick. The M25 still very slow on that clockwise side from Junction 7 to 9. That's the M23 to Leatherhead following a couple of...
090973.
Here are the studio calls flashing up on the indicator.
Hello, Richard.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Richard.
I just let you know what Ian's up to.
OK. How come you know?
Well, he tells us, doesn't he? It's just a... Alan and Chris don't seem to remember.
Well, I find that extraordinary. He actually says it on the air, but nobody who works with him has got any idea. Don't you find that a bit...
Well, I told you about the Greece thing before.
Were you right about that?
Yeah. I even told you where in Greece he was going to, but I couldn't spell it.
Spell it?
Still can't spell it.
Say it.
Zakynthos.
Right.
It's one of the islands on the west.
Oh, bound to be, yeah.
And he didn't have any,
Toilet trouble. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So he's currently doing a sketch show for BBC Three.
Oh, right, just in time for them to shut that station down.
No, I didn't know. Is it shutting down, is it?
Well, they're talking about shutting one or both down, aren't they? BBC Three and BBC Four.
Well, Four's the one that no one watches, isn't it?
Well, you know what? It's... Even though that nobody watches it, well, fewer people watch it than BBC Three, which I find extraordinary, because I don't think I've ever watched anything on BBC Three, not one single thing ever. I've watched things on BBC Four, because I think that that's the sort of thing that the BBC should be doing, you know, trying to drag us up, trying to improve our minds with the money that we've given them already, not just serving us the same sort of rubbish that you can get on the commercial channels. And so if they're thinking of shutting down the very reason for their existence, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. You might as well close down BBC Two, because few people watch it compared to the popular... in inverted commas, the populist programmes that they put on BBC One. What's the point if you close down the very reason that you exist in the first place? I'm mystified by that. So he's doing a sketch on BBC Three.
Yeah, it's working with Bob Mortimer. But apparently all the actors he isn't working with are not very famous, but he's at least is working with Bob.
Now, I don't know what Bob Mortimer's doing now. I know what Vic Reeves is doing now, and every time I see an ad for it, I can believe it less and less. He seems to be Sky's think up a show and just stick Vic in it. The things he's doing now, you'd think that Vic Reeves would have all the money in the world to say no to silly shows where you blow up buckets of custard or whatever it is he's doing over there. And he seems to be popping up on Sky One all the time, doing silly shows.
You know, you mentioned about you're doing two shows a week next week, two shows a day next week.
Yeah.
Are you sure about Friday as well?
No, I think Friday I've relatively got a day off. I'm only doing the one show on Friday.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cheers.
All right, thanks a lot, mate. I often have to look at the... internet just to find out when I'm on, because people seem to know what I'm doing and indeed what Ian is doing much more than everybody else that's working here seems to. But I find that a little strange that you're working on his show and he says it on the air and you still don't hear it.
Well, it's not information that really sticks
right.
in my mind. I don't really care what other people are doing on their day off.
Because you have problems of your own.
Because I have many, many problems of my own.
Quite right too. screw them, right?
Yeah, stuff them.
Here is Banstead. Hello, Steve.
Hi there.
Steve.
How's it going?
All right, thanks.
Good, good, good. I'd like to just talk to you briefly about Sky Plus, if I could.
Go on, then.
Everyone's been raving on about it for so long, and eventually I bit the bullet and got it.
Yeah.
And I remember having Sky about 6, 7, possibly 8 years ago, and it was excellent back then. But the thing that struck me now is the channels seem to be all over the place.
How do you mean?
To actually locate stuff. Well, say like, I don't know, you've got Sky 1, Sky 2, Sky 3, and all the other channels.
Mm.
But there doesn't seem to be any kind of order, in a sense of, like, say, like, they haven't done, like, 1 to 100, 100 to 200 of these certain channels and 200, so it's easier to actually navigate around.
But I think you've actually come up with something there, Steve, yeah.
Yeah, but another thing as well is, with the birth of Sky Plus, I mean, I don't know how long it's been going on, like, out there for, but there's got to be a lot of people out there that's got it. So could the Sky Plus not kind of eradicate about 70 or 80 channels on Sky, purely simply because you've got things like Bravo, Bravo Plus One, E4 Plus One, and it's showing an hour after the first one. So with the Sky Plus, you don't need those extra channels because you can record the stuff at the time that it's on.
Well, see, now, you had something when you with your first point, but I think you've lost me on your second, because if there's two things already on, this has happened to me so many times, and you want to watch something, and you think, oh, no, I can't watch three programmes all at once, or record two and watch something else, and so you look, and if it's got a plus one, then the two programmes that you're recording may have ended by that time that they show it in an hour's delay. So I'm fully appreciative of those extra channels that give you the same thing an hour later. And indeed, the same channels that just repeat the same things over and over and over. That's good.
Yeah, but I've noticed that, like, for every 4 hours on a programme, it repeats the stuff that it did 4 hours ago anyway.
Yeah.
So even if you miss it the first time, you record it the second time. So I just think the extra channels are pointless.
You know what, Steve, without lapsing into an advert for Sky Plus, I do think it is the best constructed software to any gadget I've ever owned.
I'm not disputing that fact.
One problem that you highlighted initially, and I noticed this, it didn't occur to me until I bought my parents one of these PVRs. It wasn't Sky Plus because they don't have a dish, but it was a PVR, personal video recorders. You know what they are, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like a video recorder without tape, right? Just like your Sky Plus thing. And you can change the order of the channels on it. To suit you know, yourself.
Yeah.
So that the Sky, so that Channel 4 and E4 Plus 1, they don't appear next to each other in the list, but you can put them that way. And I'm amazed that Sky haven't come up with that.
Well, yeah, that's another thing I was going to actually point out, is the fact that I know they've got a favourites thing, which you can add 50 channels to, which I worked out the other day. But the stupid thing is, like, say, with Digiboxes, you can do, like, your favourites list, and when you scroll up and down, it'll only show your favourites. It won't... You have to push, the blue button to go up and down your favourites, and you might have favourited something that you didn't want to, or something in the sense of you can only do 50, and if you wanted to add some more, by the time you've done all the BBC and the ITV channels and stuff, you've used up, like, 10 or 15 of the...
And how long have you had it?
A week.
A week?!
Oh,
it took me ages to find something to complain about, and you came up with a moan in 1 week.
Well, I worked it out within about 48 hours, and I was like... But other than that, with the recording factor, I mean, I've already used up about 50 or 60% of the actual recording facility on it so far.
You'll never get around to watching it all, Steve. Believe me, I've got stuff recorded that are Christmas specials, and I haven't got around to them yet. But anyway...
Another good thing I like about it is the fact that you can attach a video, a DVD recorder onto it, and actually make copies of stuff.
Yeah, this is beginning to start sound like an advert, isn't it? Yeah. Steve, I've got to go, but...
Okay, cheers for that.
In short...
Stop whining.
It really is. It's like it's a life-changing gadget, and he's still not happy. Moan, moan, moan. You got one of these yet?
No, I don't watch telly.
Excuse me?
I don't watch telly.
The amount of people... I've never met a single person in my whole life that doesn't watch TV, and the amount of people that I've met in person and on the phone since I started working here that have no interest in television, I just can't believe it.
Because it's disappointing entertainment.
No, it isn't.
No, it is.
But it isn't.
But it is.
Well, by and large, it's a load of old rubbish,
isn't it?
But then you could say that about books and newspapers and magazines and anything.
Books are far superior to anything on television.
No, they're not, because they take too long.
Well, that's good. You get immersed in a book, don't you? You know, you
I can't remember the last time I read a book. I read all the time.
On.
No, I do read all the time.
What do you read?
Newspapers, news sites on the net, you know, stuff like that. Nothing to actually tax the mind, really, or make me, you know, a better person. But then when you're already perfect, Helen...
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble.
Yes. Huh. But don't you feel that you're missing out? I mean, I know that as a nation we don't watch the same programmes anymore, so that it's very difficult to have discussions with people.
What am I missing, then? Tell me.
Well, it's hard to point up individual programmes because you won't know what I'm talking about. But in general, the nation gets most of its entertainment, 90% of its entertainment, information, news and knowledge from the flickering box in the corner.
Do you want a list of what I've not seen? I've not seen The Sopranos. I've not seen West Wing. I've not seen Sex and the City. I've not seen... Oh, I can't remember. Is it Lost?
Well, I could have... Well, you haven't lost anything by not seeing Lost.
6 Feet Under. I've never watched that.
Right.
Friends.
Interestingly, every single thing you just mentioned is American.
Okay.
You don't... Even though you don't know much about them, you don't miss not having seen anything British.
Well, what does that say about...
Well, it says that the British television is by and large a lot of old tripe these days, and all the quality stuff comes from America.
Yeah.
And it used to be the other way around. American imports used to be rubbish. And they were the absolute cream, well, they still are, I suppose, the cream of what they're producing over there. And things that were produced in Great Britain, well, there was something you could stand up and play the national anthem and be proud about. Now it's X Factor this and Celebrity Dancing the other and...
I've not seen one minute of Big Brother this year.
Me? Well, I can't say that I haven't seen a minute, but I haven't watched it at all. Every now and again I'll flip through the paper and I'll come up with a shock in realisation that they're still in there. I've completely forgotten. I think as a nation we have. Good thing too. We're weaning ourselves off it. I've got time to take a call. I haven't really.
No.
But I could have stopped you right at the beginning when you said that you haven't seen The Sopranos. And I think that you have definitely missed something there.
That's absolutely possible.
Yeah.
That is possible.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Well.
But it's too late now. Because by the time you get into it, you'll have... but you don't have a telly at all.
I'd rather read a book.
Right. Well.
And so would you, Nick.
No, I really wouldn't.
If only you let yourself.
No, it takes too long. I can't do it. I won't.
Drive a BMW 1 Series from...
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Here we go.
The thing about Mike Reed that they said on the Hourly News, they just mentioned it briefly just now, I found a little bit depressing. Well, not the part... Well, I found it a little bit surprising that they played Ugly Duckling. Do you remember his version of Ugly Duckling?
No.
It was Ugly Duckling. It was Danny Kaye done in a Cockney accent without any of the, you know, comic genius that was Danny Kaye. And I'm not going to have a pop at Mike Reed because he used to amuse me when he was part of the Comedians. Remember that old Comedians show?
And I do.
Good grief.
Stan Boardman.
That was in the last century, that was.
Bernard Manning.
I mean, it seems like, I know it was in the last century, but it seems like 100 years ago.
Jim Davidson. Mike Reed
was there. Stan Boardman, yeah, you said that. The guy, the Irish guy, fat Irish guy.
Oh, the guy with the curly hair. Ugly man. Very, very ugly.
Oh, well, that's not nice.
Well, he was ugly. Who was it? Like a big sloppy mouth.
Very judgmental.
Well.
Big thick glasses. The Irish guy.
What's his name?
It's the way I tell him.
All right. Well done.
Frank Carson, yes, is the right answer. Well, they played the Ugly Duckling going in, but the thing that depressed me was that the newsman, and it might not have been correct, he said that dozens of fans were outside. Now, I find that a bit... You know, a man that's been in show business for, 40 years? He was like a national comic stand-up treasure, and then he went on to EastEnders. It was EastEnders he was in, right? Not the other one. Yeah, EastEnders with an accent like that. Of course it wasn't Coronation Street, you fool. And only dozens of people showed up.
That's a lot, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
What if it was 20 dozens?
Well, if 20 dozens would be... more acceptable, but just dozens. I mean, that implies between 12 and 20.
Four.
Well, I know, but they would say dozens because they wouldn't actually do a proper head count. If it was more than 20, they'd probably say hundreds. I find that a bit dispiriting, don't you? I mean, what do you have to do in this country to actually get appreciated? Marry a prince.
Yeah. Or go out with one of the Beckhams.
Which one?
David.
Either. Hello, Trixie.
Hello.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, thanks. You're doing fine as well, my goodness.
Oh, super.
Picking up new callers, left, right and centre. Brilliant. Well done.
Oh, thanks.
Couldn't rest on your laurels now. Just pick up the phone and say hello.
Yeah, I can't afford laurels.
No, I know.
I'm saving up for them.
I'll buy some for you.
All right, great.
I was going to say about the Times. They do change them. The DigiGuide isn't desperately good, apparently.
The what?
DigiGuide. I don't get DigiGuide myself.
What's DigiGuide?
It's a satellite guide available online.
Oh, right.
I don't subscribe to that, but...
Just look in the paper. It'll tell you what's on.
Yeah, well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. The Radio Times is notorious for not giving the correct times.
I'm running out of things to watch. I'm just watching repeats of the same things over and over and over. I've run out of funny,
yes.
Like half-hour sitcoms.
Yes.
There just aren't any anymore. I've been watching Larry Sanders, but they've showed them all, and now they've started at the beginning, and they're showing them all again.
I've seen the Larry Sanders ones years ago.
Well, yeah, me too.
Yes.
But it's still the funniest thing that's on TV.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. And what I'm doing at the moment, I'm taking a break from television. I'll watch the news. You know, I sometimes go for days not watching it, because, you know, I've got other things to do.
Really? I don't.
Well, I know you don't, but, you know, if you take a break, then you think, oh, and you go back to it, you think, oh my goodness, have I missed this and that? Oh, excellent. Because I've only got, the straightforward
ordinary
standard Digibox at the moment. So, but I've seen all of the Sky Channel ones, you know, and I've seen them ad nauseam. So it's just a question of catching up with the CSIs on...
Emphasis on the nauseam, CSI, yes.
No, I like that.
Why are people so obsessed with death? Why does it always got to be death?
Yes, but don't forget, I wanted to be a doctor.
Did you?
And yeah. And I'm actually quite fascinated with biology.
Now, when you say you wanted to be a doctor, is this sort of as you were, like, 5 years old, playing nurses?
No, I've always been fascinated with medical terms. When I worked in Finland, I learned as much medical terminology as possible.
In Finnish?
In Finnish.
Oh, that would be
useful.
Because
for myself, obviously, you know, being the sort of person just like yourself that goes to the doctor and needs to communicate.
Hypochondriac.
You'd need to know what your eturauha was.
Yeah.
That's your prostate, by the way.
Oh, very
nice.
And
I have to tell you, Finnish guys didn't know what an eturauha was.
Talking about asteroids, by the way, Trixie, did anybody see the...
Yes, absolutely.
Anybody see the Perseid shower on Sunday night?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I cannot see the sky in my garden. I've just got trees there. I tried to look outside. I have stood in that garden. I've been stood in that garden looking out... Desperately, I cannot see a thing.
Can't see the sky from the trees.
Because I've just got leaves there. My landlord hasn't cut back the trees or hasn't given me any means of cutting them back, sadly. And it's a brilliant garden for my cat, but it's not a brilliant garden for looking out for asteroids.
Okay, well, you miss precious little.
Oh, thank you for telling me that.
Well, that's
excellent.
All right.
And you were watching from your balcony, weren't you?
Yeah, I was stapled onto my balcony. I've tried to be most of the summer, but I've been beaten back by the weather.
You're so lucky. I was thinking about you on your balcony, eating pizza,
right.
Probably.
Trixie, you want to stop thinking about me
more. My God, that's not fair, you know.
Oh.
But never mind. And then I tried going out to the front, but I'm on a road with lots of terraced houses, and...
And the lights, you can't see for the lights, yeah.
And you can only see the tops of houses, you can barely see above them, sadly. But I did make it an honest attempt, I really did.
Okay, well done for your effort, Trixie. Maximum points for effort.
Now, you want to know your times. Do you know what you're doing now for next week?
And next week, I know, yeah.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, doubles, yeah. And Friday, just the single, because the
right.
Psychic show's on Friday, yeah.
That's right, but you knew that already, didn't you?
Well, I've got it in mind, yeah.
It's always asking one of your listeners, because if you're not quite sure, or we'll tell you.
All right, thanks for your assistance, Trixie.
That's all right, love you.
Cheers, my dear. Ta-da.
Yeah, bye.
Did you see the asteroid thing on Sunday?
No.
Oh, what's the word?
Boring!
Yeah, that's right, boring.
I didn't know about it.
Well, there was nothing to know. Apparently, we were going through the tail end of the Perseid. No, that's not even right, is it? It was the, some sort of comet that's not called the Perseid. It's the Perseid shower, because it's near the constellation of Perseus. I think I might have made that up. Right. I've got no idea where the constellation of Perseus is, but I have a question. This is the when I start thinking about, you know, the Earth is, the Moon's going around the Earth, and the Earth is going around the Sun, and the Earth is also spinning at the same time, and we're on a wobble, and which part of that actually brings the seasons, I've got no idea.
We're on a tilt, aren't we?
Yeah. How come the... Because you're looking up into the sky for about an hour between 1 and 2 a.m., Sunday night, Monday morning, and I saw maybe 6 or 7, it's quite dark where I am, and so I had a pretty good view of the sky, and, and I saw more stars in the sky than you normally do, so it was perfect viewing conditions, right? So how come they were all going in different directions? You'd think if we were passing through
What was going in different directions?
The shooting stars. If we were passing through the tail end of a comet, presumably the comet's just going the one way, so the things that have fallen off the comet, which are what we're seeing, are all going one way too, in like a train. And our planet is blasting through the back end of the train. And so the little grains of sand or slightly larger lumps of rock, whatever they are burning up in our atmosphere. But you'd think they'd all be going in the same direction. How come they were going, like, some were going left to right, and others were going right to left, and others were going up and down and back and forth and to and fro and in and out?
That sounds really good.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Can you find out?
No.
Here's Worcester Park. Hello, Ken.
Hello. Good evening. Can I make a few comments on this lady's remarks on viewing?
Please do.
Yes, I mean, I always listen to things like the news when I'm in the car, which is LBC. But as a TV news cameraman all my working life, I don't think you will better ever to see pictures of something of importance. You can then put your own emphasis on the pictures you're looking at, and you're not reliant totally upon somebody's leading scripts.
Well, I'd have to take issue with you there, Ken, but in two ways. First of all, you only see the pictures in the order that they've been edited by the people who have control of the news, so your impression of what you're seeing is dependent on the way in which they presented it to you. And the second thing is, television news only gives you news that's got exciting pictures to go with it. They won't tell you about anything they haven't got pictures to go with.
No, I grant you that, but you don't take pictures, do you? That's not interesting. Actually, you don't.
I would have argument with that as well. The amount of reporters I saw during the floods with Wellingtons on, up to their knees in water, for no good reason, because locals on dry land would be watching them talk to camera, but 10 yards away, but they insisted on going in the water to do it. Every single one of them.
Are you talking about BBC News or all of them. The ITV channel?
They're all the same. They all have the same... they're all covering the same stories. And they all, because they all watch each other. I don't think there's really such a thing as journalism anymore, is it? It's really, print journalism is just printing what comes off the fax machine.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can remember these sort of things, but I mean, once upon a time, you get a voice piece from a country because you couldn't get your pictures back, and you'd see a background of a map. Now, that was like listening to radio.
Yeah.
It didn't inspire you, did it?
What, you have to see the suffering?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I do, actually. I think you've got to see it for yourself, rather than hear what somebody else says about it.
Yeah, but I'll go back to my original point. You're not actually seeing it for yourself, you're just seeing the images that they've given you.
Well, they're giving you the images, aren't they, of the things that's apparent for that story.
Yeah, but they could be filming from Iraq, and they could be a close shot on a shop that's doing very well, and the shopkeeper is pointing his face at the camera saying everything's fine here and no problems at all. Meanwhile, behind the camera, what they're trying to edit out is there's people blowing themselves up next to soldiers, and there's craters in the road, and no one's got any water, so they're queuing up for standpipes, and it's a complete disaster. So that's just a small example example of the way that they'll manipulate pictures to, in much the same way as you can manipulate words to give any kind of slant to the story that you're giving. So it's not true that pictures are the truth.
Well, I don't know so much, actually. I mean, you know, a lot of the pictures you don't see because they're too horrific, and they actually tell you that, don't they, at the start of the story. Some of these scenes may distress you.
Yes.
And there are a lot of things you don't show.
What, like, what war actually means?
Well, actually dead people with limbs missing.
That's
right. You know,
And then after the news, here's CSI, which is lots of dead people with their limbs missing. Anyway, Ken, I think that perhaps you might concede that you are, having been a TV news cameraman, slightly biased.
No. Can I have one little point on something else?
Well, you can't, I'm afraid, because I'm past a break. Ken, please call back later and on another show, because time marches on and there's nothing I can do about it. It's 7:45. Here's Travel Now with Alan Joyce.
Thanks, Nick. The M27.3.
Nick Abbott. 0870-9090-973.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
I've heard that James O'Brien clip over and over again, and every time I hear it, you know, the chap says, if you open the door in a warm room and it's cold outside, does the hot air go out or does the cold air come in? And every time I'm sent back to my school days when, at the back of the class, you'd have your hand in the air going, oh, miss, oh. Except you wouldn't actually be doing that, but mentally you'd be doing it, because if you showed that you were keen in school, then it would, it's a very uncool thing to be.
You'd get bullied, wouldn't you?
Yeah, quite possibly, or at the very least, beaten up in the playground, or shunned by your peers, because, and the report after report is coming out just lately that the kids aren't learning anything at all, you know, despite the fact that they're all getting A's, and learning nothing whatsoever between the ages of 11 and 14. That just came out today. Really, the first 4 years of, we don't call it high school. What do we call it?
High school.
High school?
Mm-hmm.
That's not an Americanism.
It is, and we do call senior school, high school now.
High school, right, yeah. Okay. First 4 years of high school, you might as well just not show up, because apparently they know exactly the same as when they go in as 4 years later. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. I wish that had happened to me.
What, that you'd retain that knowledge?
But I didn't go to school between the ages of 11. Oh, I hated school.
Did you?
Yeah.
I liked it. I can't quite remember why, but I quite enjoyed mine. Because I did two different...
You were boffin.
Well,
were you a boffin?
No, not really, no. I had glasses, and that's what you were doing.
If
only we were on TV, boffin, she said, as she rounded her fingers in front of her eyes.
In a bullying type way.
Glasses, I hope, not just bags, right? But you weren't... it was very uncool at school to have your hand in the air, right? Because then you were a SWAT. You were keen. And that's part of the part of the problem. It's not part of the solution. It's part of the problem, and it persists to this day. It seems to be the cool thing is to be stupid. Like everybody wants to be
Jay Goody.
It's exactly the name that I was grasping for. Yeah, Jay Goody.
What's the answer?
Like it's a career choice, huh?
What's the answer?
Well, this is one of the silly things that I learned at school. I hope that I'm not hallucinating, but I learned this at school and I've retained this ever since. And it's not been useful in any way until this point right now. I don't think that the cold comes in, the heat goes out, because... Here's my reasoning.
I think you're wrong.
Here's my reasoning. Heat is not an absence of cold. Cold is an absence of heat. See, if something's really cold, it's really cold because it doesn't have any heat in it. If something's really hot, it's not hot because it doesn't have any cold in it. It's the other way around. And I'm sure that that's true. That cold is an absence of heat. And the more heat that is absent, the colder it gets. And it's not the other way around. The more hot something is, it's not because... There is an absence of cold. So that must be true. I'm giving myself an A.
That sounds dodgy.
A for effort.
I think you're wrong, because do you not remember that saying when you'd leave the front... So it'd be snowing, there'd be snow coming down.
Yeah, snow. Mm-hmm.
You're a little child.
What, like September, something like that?
Yeah.
End of August, September, yeah.
And you with your sisters or your brothers or friends, and you'd see the snow outside.
What if you don't have any sisters, brothers and friends? Just be there on your own.
Did you not, Nick?
Well.
Oh. Well, I did. So.
Oh, that's nice.
You're with your sisters and your brothers. Yeah. You see the snow. You run out.
I can only dream of being with my sisters and brothers and friends.
The central heating's been going on for 3 months.
Oh, we didn't have that either.
You run out, you see the snow, you run out, you leave the front door open.
Oh, you were gone when we were a lad, yes. And sitting there on my own, with a bag on my head in the corner of a room, dreaming of better times. Knowing that somewhere, someone, probably called Helen, was having a super time, skipping down the street with her mates in her, colourful woolen coveralls. You probably were the type who had their mittens on an elastic band.
Yeah.
Tied to the end of your little coat sleeves there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, so you leave the front door open.
Yes.
And didn't your mum holler after you, who's let Jack Frost in? So you let the cold in.
Right.
You don't let the heat out.
And so, given the choice of believing me or your mother...
My mum.
Here is Sheffield. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Nick.
Jessica.
Oh, you're blowing my mind. It's almost like being back at school listening.
Yeah, blowing your mind.
Groovy. All that physics and science.
Yeah. Okay, what did you learn from school? What's the one thing that actually comes to mind, the one sort of useless fact that stuck?
Well, it's not necessarily useless, but I can't play many musical instruments. But I do know that it's every good boy deserves favours. And faith, F-A-C-E, that's the notes on the musical staff.
I am, unfortunately, not musical at all,
no,
so I really don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't either. I mean, all I know is that fact. I don't know what it means.
Well, hang on a minute. How do you know it's a fact, then? What is it?
Well, if you take the musical staff...
The musical what?
Well, you know, like, you have sort of five or six bars on a musical staff.
What's a staff?
Well, it's like a bar of music. You know,
are you saying staff because you're northern, or is that actually the way that you pronounce staff?
Don't be rude.
No, I'm not being rude, because you'd say staff, and I'd say staff,
okay.
But is it actually called a staff?
If you take a musical staff...
Well, I don't know, you see, I'm not saying that you're wrong.
You know when you see sheet music?
Yes.
And you see all the lines and all the notes on it?
All those little blobs, yeah.
That's called a staff.
Is it?
With all the kind of...
And it's not called a staff down here, it's actually a staff wherever you are.
Yeah, quaint right. And plotted.
Okay.
Well, it's every good boy deserves favours.
Yeah.
As in the letters of the notes that you're supposed to hit.
For what? And what tune would that give you?
I don't know, Merry Christmas. They're the major notes, and then the minor notes are F-A-C-E, faith.
I see.
And I can't play a musical instrument, so
but that's all.
Information has absolutely no effect in my life.
Right.
I could probably cite that as the one thing I remember from school.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. Mm. Totally useless, because the only other thing, I mean, the hot air thing, which we're still in dispute about, someone is bound to have the answer, is something I didn't know I knew until I heard the that trail.
Mm.
But the only other thing that I absolutely know, and I've said this many times, is that carbon dioxide turns lime water milky. Other than that, and why, and what even lime water is, I've got no idea, but it's the only thing I retained from all of that schooling.
But when are you ever going to kind of use...
Never. No, that's my point. Never. Useless things you learnt at school that have stuck in your mind ever since and you've never had to use.
I often think the answer is to kind of stop your schooling at 13, throw you out into the real world, a bit of child labour.
Up the chimney.
And then you're given the opportunity at 18 to continue your education if you wish to do so. I mean, obviously it will kind of make a two-tier society, but...
Well, have we got one of them anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's not entirely crazy, Jessica.
It's not, is it? But
because you know what? The difference at university between the people who didn't take a gap year or weren't mature students, in all senses of the word, was that the people who just went straight from school to university, me, for instance, we took the same mindset from school to university, as in not being keen... not really doing much work, not really being bothered or making any effort. The people who would come back, say they were 30, 40 years old to do a degree after having gone out into the big bad world, they were working their face off.
Yeah.
I was at university with Jo Brand, the comedian. She was a mature student, and the few mature students on our course were always the ones that showed up for seminars and actually had something to say, and the rest of us were sulky kids staring out the window, not really wanting to be there.
I think that's because the mature student is doing it through choice, whereas the younger student is doing it through kind of...
Exactly,
you know,
yeah. Here, yeah, Jessica, am I past a break? I am, good grief, very much past. I've got to go.
All right, then.
Thanks, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da. It's 7:57.
I took the inside...
Break. I wonder if she's still there. Jessica? No, she's gone. I have to talk to you next time, dear. How about, it's going to be a very brief call. Aid. Oh, Aid.
Oh, Nick.
How are you?
What's it? I'm just in the middle of something.
Oh, well, I'll put you on hold then, shall I?
Okay, for an hour again.
No, just in the middle. You mean you want more than 2 minutes?
After the news, because...
You mean you want more than 2 minutes?
Well...
Yes.
I'm not near me. I need to play you something.
Right.
I'm not near the computer at the moment.
Am I going to be interested?
Maybe. It's a little radio. It's nothing naughty at the time.
I'll take that as a maybe. All right. I'll put you back on hold.
Cheers.
I think that he just wanted more than the 2 minutes that we got before the end of the hour. What a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not star. Oh, help me out here. It's a...
What's going on? What's happening?
It's not a star. What a prima donna.
Who?
That's the word I'm looking for. Prima donna. Aid. I just took him, and he saw what time it was, realised that he would only have about 60, 70 seconds,
oh,
and said, oh, I'm not ready. Take me after the news. Thinking that he's going to be able to park on the show and take up virtually a half-hour segment.
And what did you do?
I foolishly went along with it.
What?
Well, you weren't...
I've got a better caller than Adrian after the news.
Well, but you weren't monitoring me at the time. You're the producer. It's all your fault.
But who's running this show? Adrian?
You are.
Adrian?
No, you are.
Right, you've got Adrian now.
But, Mum... Okay, well, what have we talked about so far? Hey, what have you learnt in school that you've retained all this while that has been absolutely no use whatsoever? Colours of the Rainbow? Richard of York gave battle in vain? I suppose that is useful every now and again.
That's
you can't,
it.
You can't remember what you retained?
No, I hated school.
Oh, right, yeah. I remember now.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
The cosine's connected to the... I can't remember. Cosines and sines and all that stuff. I spent endless hours of... in horrific... cold sweats trying to learn all that stuff. And I'm like, what good did that actually do me?
None.
None at all is the right answer. Yeah. Can you think of anything that you learnt at school that has stuck with you and yet proved totally useless to this point, Andy?
Large chunks of it.
Well, that's a helpful answer.
I can't even off the top of my head that...
Right.
I can't remember that I didn't know that's useful to me now.
Okay.
Does that help?
No. Let's have, Chigwell. Hello, Jeff.
Hiya, Nick.
Jeff.
Hello. Can I first of all say, that Helen has got a great laugh.
You got a fan, Helen.
No, she's got a great laugh. She's great. I love her. Anyway, listen, your theory on, cold attracting heat.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, what was it, way around? Heat attracting cold?
No.
Yeah. Cold attracts heat.
No.
What was the theory you just come out with?
Well, before
the news?
I thought that... Okay, it was, the question was, if you open the door of a warm room, does the cold come in or the heat go out? And I said, the heat must go out because cold is an absence of heat.
That's right.
Heat is not an absence of cold.
That's right. So I agree with you that cold does attract heat.
That's not what I said, though.
No, but it's a basic principle.
Cold attracts heat.
Yeah.
Cold attracts heat.
Yeah, because of your theory, and which is spot on.
But I don't understand what that means. What do you mean cold attracts heat?
Well, because cold hasn't got any heat. And that's what you said.
Cold is an absence of heat, but I don't understand how cold attracts heat.
Well, because it unless a form of an energy, there is a friction that attracts heat.
Oh, Jeff, are you talking a word we can't say on the radio beginning with B?
No.
It's a yes, isn't it? Was there anything else?
Yeah.
Go on.
My teacher once asked me, when I was at school, in high school, Willington High School in Newcastle, he said to me, what is an atom made of?
What's an atom made of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, protons, neutrons. And then I turned round to him, and I said, well, what are those protons and neutrons made of?
Right. Did you get struck about the head?
No.
For your troubles, no?
No, he just looked at me blank.
Yeah, well, he got no idea.
Well, yeah, he didn't have. Yeah, at the time, but I only learned that about 30, 40 years old there later, that they were quarks.
Quark, yeah.
Yeah,
which is that stuff that's like mycoprotein that they make vegetarian sausages out of?
Probably.
Who knew?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
At the time, thanks.
Here's mate, ta-ra.
Bye.
Here is Muswell Hill. Lorraine?
Hello, Nick.
Hey, Lorraine.
You're quoting Einstein, aren't you?
Am I?
Cold being in the absence of heat.
Was that Einstein? Oh,
well,
boy, talk about great minds thinking alike.
Well, he said that cold didn't exist. And according to the law of physics, that it was the absence of heat.
Right.
So heat transmits energy. No energy is transmitted when there's no when it's cold, and therefore it can't be measured. And you knew that anyway.
Well, I knew the first part. The second part, not so much.
Yeah. So with a total loss of heat, you know, matter is incapable of reaction, apparently. You know, 0 degrees or minus whatever it is. I don't know. I'm still not quite sure whether the heat comes in or goes. I don't see how you can measure it then.
Oh, well, you must be able to. The heat must go out because I say so? I don't know.
Because you say so?
Yes. Because Einstein says so, more to the point.
Well, allegedly.
Yeah, he and I were singing from the same staff sheet. EGBDF. You remember that, don't you?
EGBDF.
Yeah. Whatever that means, I don't know. They're notes. This is something else I've learnt on the show today. They're notes on a staff something. And I hope that I've been very clear about that. Thanks a lot, Lorraine.
Yay,
cheers, ta-da. So it was Einstein that said it. There you are, Helen. I'm not as stupid as I look.
Who said it was Einstein?
She did.
Who?
Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Oh, I see.
Well, it's not going too well, is it? And you're wrong.
It is going very well. Didn't you hear the beginning
could you go to Les
program?
Instead of Adrian?
Everything is going extremely well.
Everything is going extremely well. Here is Deptford. Hello, Les.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, thanks.
Nick, the young lady who's told you about the density of cool air is absolutely correct. Because when warm air, being lighter than cool air, will always leave a premises or a door, the cool air will rush in at the bottom. So
right.
Therefore, she is correct.
What if you only opened it at the very bottom?
Then cool air would come in only.
But where would the hot air go?
It'd be trapped up in the further part of the building.
But wouldn't that be too much air in the room?
No, because you force it out through the ventilation through the natural part of the house. How is a storm created?
Oh, can we do the...
No, just go back on it. Cool air is denser.
Yeah.
Cool air rushes in the bottom.
Right.
Warm air rises. It convects. Convection, sir. Convection. Simple convection.
Right. And what
does that
mean?
The young lady was absolutely correct.
Whatever she said.
No, she said that cool air is denser than warm air. Warm air goes out the top, cool air rushes in the bottom. No matter what situation you're in.
Right. But if there's no gaps...
Laws of physics.
If there's no gaps for the warm air to go out the roof...
There's always gaps.
But suppose there isn't.
Then cool air does not come in. Reverse it. A cool room with air conditioning.
Yeah.
The cool air falls out the bottom of the door, the warm air rushes in the top.
Right.
Simple physics. Anyone would understand that with half a brain. Young lady.
Unfortunately,
half a brain.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're talking to me. I hate physics. Like, I really, like, even more than maths.
It stands out a mile, Nick. Don't worry about it. You do a very good job as a presenter. Leave the physics to
the experts.
People like heating engineers, like us.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, Les.
Thank you. Cheers,
mate.
Bye.
I feel so stupid now. This is like going back to school, isn't it? You understand this, don't you, boy? No, sir. But I don't. Convection. Explain convection to me.
He's just done it.
Here is Burton on Trent. Hello, Aid.
Hello, Nick.
Aid.
I'll tell you right now.
Did you go to Pat?
Pardon?
Pat's very good.
Oh, Aid, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Oh, man.
I've just been given instructions. Acton. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Nick. I think that chappie just before, he kind of stole my thunder, but he didn't quite put it in the same way. What I learnt when I was at school is the basic law of physics is hot air rises.
Yeah.
You remember that, don't you?
Oh, I know that, yeah.
Well, so therefore, if you've got your warm room,
the
air, as that chappie said before, it is lighter, so that will rise to the top. As soon as you open the window, because that's higher up sort of thing, that will zoom out, but the cold air will come in underneath to replace it because it's heavier.
Right.
Do you see?
So does the hot air go out or the cold air come in? Both, at the same time.
At the same time, it's probably sort of circular or convection. But if you imagine the hot air goes out the top and at the same time the cold air comes in underneath it.
In the right circumstances, could you actually create a thunderstorm in your front room?
Not me personally, no, at this precise moment.
Oh, go on, Pat, give it a go.
I'm not a physicist, I'm just trying to remember my O-level physics, and that was a long time ago.
Right.
But basically, that is what it is. You see what I mean? If you just remember that hot air rises, which you do remember from school, don't you, Nick?
Yes.
Right, well, if you just bear that in mind, so your hot air, or at least your warm air, is higher up.
Right.
Right? So you open your room... you open your window, and the hot air will then straight away go out, sort of higher up, and underneath, the cold air comes in to replace it. And
with the flies, which is another good reason not to open your window.
As well, yes, I know. But that is what they call convection.
Why do flies fly around in a circle underneath the light in the centre of your room?
Well, they're attracted to light, aren't they?
No, but even if the light's off, they describe...
They're attracted to the warmth.
No, if it's off.
Bulb.
If it's off.
If it's been on before, it's still a bit warm.
No, I don't ever switch that light on.
Oh.
But they still come around and do, like, there's several of them. They do, like, lazy circles underneath the centre of the room where your light fitting is. Why do they do that?
What has that got to do with hot air going out the window?
That's an excellent question, Pat, and I'd love to be able to answer it, but unfortunately we've run out of time.
We have, haven't we?
Thanks a lot, dear. Ta-da.
Okay, bye.
Bye. This show, by the way, is very eco-friendly in as much as it runs on hot air. Isn't that right, Helen?
What does Adrian think? You could squeeze him in here.
I don't know. What do you think, Aid?
Hot air, yeah. Hot air is fantastic, but... it's time for the travel.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's time for the travel, yeah. I'll have to put you on hold, all right.
Okay.
He's getting less and less happy about that, isn't he? I hope he's paying for the call. It's 8:15. Here's Karen Mercer with the travel.
The M25 is slow clockwise.
LBC 97.3.
Nick Abbott.
0870-9090-973.
Are you trying to tell me that this is your act?
I could sit here and make him wait for the entire programme, but I'll just take him now, because I'm starting to feel cruel. Aid.
Oh, I love it when you're cruel.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I'm going to make it a good one now. I'm
yes.
After this performance. But can I just explain myself first? When the news came on, when the break came on...
All right,
on,
never mind about all that. Get on with it.
I thought the break was going to be about 2 minutes or something, so I was making a drink for a friend that had dropped by.
Right. Like I said, never mind about all that.
Oh, I don't want to sound like an idiot, you know what I mean?
Oh, well then, we'd better close now. Bye!
No, you know what the anniversary of today is, don't you? In the radio broadcast one, don't you?
Well, I would guess it'd be a pirate thing, because that's been on the news a lot. Yeah, is it something to do with the pirates?
Yeah, it's the 40th year of the Marine Offensive Act.
Right. Good thing, too. It hasn't worked very well, has it? You dial up and down the dial, and all you get is... with Shashka, and in fact, this is what it sounds. Pushing and pushing, blah, 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 blah. They just don't stop talking.
Yeah, well, as you used to get. Oh, damn it.
Circles in your mind. This is the new Radio Carolina.
One of my favourite jingles of all time. And then they used to go into something called about loving awareness, and it was LA and DA.
Yeah.
And I always wondered what DA meant. Is it defensive awareness? Something silly like that.
That's longer than I remember it. That's 17 seconds, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it has a nice out that you can bang in the next hit by the tremolos or whatever it was they were playing at the time. From a point at sea to the circles of your mind, this is the new Radio Caroline, yeah.
Yeah, so you've not come across that on the web, then?
Yeah, loads. I used to play that on the radio myself. Not there, at another place.
No, yeah, that's the secret sordid past you're going. You've been on a pirate station, have you?
I did one show on a pirate station, but not on a boat. No. I made inquiries, and apparently they didn't pay you. And I thought, well, what's the point of that? But I did one show on a station that probably only existed for that weekend, in some tower block in Brixton.
You didn't get busted or anything?
No, neither did I go down very well, because I would actually just play music and shut up in between, you know, like a DJ should do.
Yeah, but
they just seem to, I don't know, they seem to be doing, it's not even a talk show, it's a shout show while they're playing music. They never shut up.
Yeah.
Which I find is really bizarre. I mean, what do they want to be? Talk show personalities? I thought the people who went on pirate stations to play their music were obsessed about playing the music, because they think that professional stations aren't playing their thing. But that's not really what they're there at. It's just a giant ego trip, isn't it? Yeah. How dispiriting.
I mean, there's something that, you know, brings on to the, you start your own station on the internet. I mean, I know that is...
I couldn't understand a word you just said, mate. What?
Do your own radio station on the internet. Now, that is really bordering on very sad, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. Well, it depends. I mean, some people make giant sums of money by putting on radio stations on the internet. Usually lots of them, all at the same time. Although that might all be coming to an end, now that they had to pay a lot of money to play music on commercial...
Yeah.
On, you know, internet radio stations. But anyway.
But what I want to ask you advice about is, if bank holiday, I'm coming down to London again, and I've never stopped overnight. What is a good area where you're not likely to, die?
Get killed.
Well, you can't mention hotel names, though, but, you know, the sort of area.
I've never stayed in a hotel in London, so I've got no idea. Well, the centre of town, you'd be fairly all right, I would think.
How about Wimbledon?
Well, you don't want to stay in Wimbledon. You wouldn't get shot in Wimbledon, most likely, but I wouldn't think you want to stay in Wimbledon. It's very far away from the centre of town. It's a suburb, practically.
Yeah, but this day on the ground, it's just fantastic.
This what?
This day on the ground to travel on.
Well, yeah, but believe me, the trip from Wimbledon to the centre of town is well over an hour. I mean, if you're coming down to experience London, I would stay somewhere that you could walk from the hotel and be in London.
Well,
otherwise, you might as well just drive down from Burton-on-Trent.
Because of my fat physique.
Where is, when is the bank holiday? Have we got a bank holiday coming up?
It's not this weekend, the weekend after. But
right.
You don't register bank holidays.
No, they mean nothing to me.
How do you feel about paying your tax while there's people, you know, watching Jeremy Kyle and sponging off the government? All the tax you're paying.
What, how do I think about that? How do I feel about it? I feel about it less badly than the people in the city who are... The Sunday Times had a thing about a very well-known chap who's a billionaire, who they claimed didn't pay any tax at all, or practically nothing, because he pays his wife the amount that he would pay in tax, and his wife lives offshore. It's like I said, they have accountancy firms in the city whose whole reason for being is to prevent rich, fantastically, unimaginably rich people from paying any tax. The very people who can afford to pay it. And really, it wouldn't make any difference to them at all. I mean, if you've got 1 billion, then what's a few million even in tax going to make any difference to you? But they're all obsessed with not paying any at all, so it's only the mug punters in the middle. And this guy paid his wife Let me see if I got this right. £1.3 billion a year.
Wow.
Not million, billion, which amounts to £3.3 million a day.
I'd marry him for that.
Well, yeah, I'd have sex with him for that. Absolutely. Where can I sign up?
I was talking about millions, and I mentioned millionaire the other day, but briefly again, do you know it's been made easier now that Carol's going on it?
I don't think it's been made easier because Carol's going on it.
Well, not because Carol, it just takes a bit of coincidence. I mean, I have read somewhere that for startups, they're doing 12 questions now, they're changing the format.
Yeah, well, they're starting at the more difficult question, which I think is a good idea, because it's those initial questions that take up all the time with Chris chit-chatting away and just wasting time so they don't have to give away too much money. I found that part of the programme to be intensely irritating. They just got on with giving away the big amounts of cash, then people might be more interested, yeah.
Don't make a bit of money.
Yes, please.
You can, on the internet, you can now enter for free. You can be interviewed by the production team of Millionaire. But you've got to give a good reason why they should pick you for an interview.
Right. Because I really want to win the money. Is that good enough?
You've caught the idea, and I'll give you 20%.
Yeah, okay, I'm worth 20%. Well done, Aid. Thanks a lot, mate.
Okay.
Ta-ta. Yeah, Carol's going on celebrity, and the use of that word is really loose in this context. Celebrity millionaire. You're looking at me stunned, Alan. Yeah, you know the Millionaire Show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You know the Millionaire Show?
Yeah.
Carol, for it is she, is going on the and I use the words, I'm waving my fingers in the air to denote quotation marks around the word celebrity.
What?
Oh, I'm disappointed.
Huh?
I'm just disappointed.
Well, you know Carol.
I know a lot about lots of things.
Well, she should do well, then.
Well, I wonder how well she does. Apparently, she stalled on a question on travel, which I find... because she does nothing but travel.
I know.
If you're listening to me right now, Gibbon, call me up immediately. I insist upon it. I want to know what, how much money... She's probably under pain of death not to tell us, right?
Probably.
I talked to her on the phone the other day, and she didn't mention it at all. So she probably done really badly.
She's probably embarrassed.
I'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you?
Going on that show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you have to be hugged by Chris Tarrant, which I'm not too sure about. And then secondly, you've got the spotlight on you, all the audience is looking at you. Easy at home to shout the answers at the telly. Much more difficult on the hot seat, sitting across from Chris Tarrant to answer the questions when the cameras are rolling. I just couldn't do it.
You two should have gone as a...
as a pair, yeah.
As a couple, but celebrity then, couple.
Well, it wouldn't have been a celebrity couple, would it?
The odd couple. The peculiar couple. Well, whatever you call yourself now.
Yeah, all right. I wish I'd gone with celebrity now. Here's Selhurst. Hello, Chris.
Yes, hello. Well, as a Brunel graduate...
Are you?
I am, yes.
Oh, congratulations. How did you do in life?
Oh, not well, moderately.
Right. Not yeah, me too. Nothing to shout about, eh?
I believe you were at Brunel as well.
I was, yeah.
So was Joe Brand.
Yeah, well, me and Joe Brand and I were on the same course at the same time.
Oh. Were you a nurse then?
No, I did psychology, but I didn't actually care about people.
Yeah, I did she psychology did. At Brunel too.
I didn't. I did it because I couldn't think of anything else to do. None of the subjects that I did at school I was interested in taking further because I thought they were too a subject.
Boring!
Just too dull to carry on with. So I was desperately scrabbling around and I knew I didn't want to do anything, you know, useful like mechanical engineering or anything that actually seemed like it would involve work. So I thought, people, I like... Well, like's a strong word. I can put up with people. I'll study them. That's why I did psychology.
Yeah, well, that's why I did it. Well, that's why I gave up physics. Anyway, yeah, right. He, and, can I mention about staves as well later?
About what?
You know, musical staves, e.g. BDF.
Oh, did she have it wrong? How do you spell it?
I think so.
How do you spell staves?
S-T-A-V-E.
Right, she said staffs. And I've been repeating it.
I think you can call it that.
Oh, right.
Anyway, heat and windows, right? Hot air is at a higher energy level than cold air.
Yeah.
So it always moves towards a lower energy level, like an apple falling off a tree. It goes from higher potential energy to low potential energy.
Right. Here's one of the reasons that I didn't do physics. It's like my brain's hurting already. What's apple? What's it got to do with an apple?
Well, it's it's just a principle. Things always go from high energy levels to low energy levels.
Right. See, I repeat my question. Hot. What's that got to do with an apple?
Well, but it's the same principle. An apple in a tree has got, if it's at the top of a tree and it falls off, it's got potential energy. So it falls down to the ground and it's got no potential energy.
Are you following this? Helen's holding her head.
It's to do with energy levels. Air is hot.
My personal energy level is sapping with every word you speak.
It's had energy pumped into it.
Right. See, already I'm metaphorically in my classroom, staring wistfully out the window, wishing I was doing anything else, even playing cricket.
Well, that's why I gave it up as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my answer anyway. Can I explain about staves? This is something that was useless that I learned at school.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Right, if you look at a piece of music, there are five lines.
Yeah.
And those lines are labelled E, G, B, D, F.
Right.
And the spaces between them are F, A, C, E. And they correspond to notes on a musical instrument.
Okay.
For example, a violin has got G, D, A, E strings. So if you've got the second line up, which is G, and you've got a note on that, you play the G string on the violin, and then you just go up and down.
Nick, are you nodding off?
No, I'm making notes.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what...
What a scare you just gave me. Good grief, I thought I'd gone past the news or something. In fact, I have almost gone past the news. I've got to go.
Understand more...
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Affirmative. Right, what have we learned so far? Something about staves and, convection. I really don't know. I wasn't paying attention, miss. Here's one on the M40. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right, thanks.
Good. About this hot air and convection thing, I can understand it in a room or in a house, but how does that explain when astronauts have to go up into, high up into the air and Richard Branson goes on one of his hot air balloon jaunts? They have to wear all this insulation. Surely it should be really hot up there. If hot air rises...
What do you mean?
Maybe we should all be living in, like, cities in the sky, like in Star Wars.
You mean that all the hot air from the Earth...
Yeah.
...is rising up into space?
If hot air rises, we should be really hot up there, shouldn't it?
Yeah, they should be, out there in their cozies, yeah.
That's what I don't understand. So why do they have to have all those insulated suits? It's baffled me, that.
That's an excellent question, Guy.
And I've also got one thing I remembered from school.
Yeah.
Is that your margins have to be 2 centimetres exactly from the edge of the page.
Centimetres, eh?
2 centimetres. Otherwise, if it wasn't 2 centimetres, whatever you wrote on that page, it would all be crossed out in red pen and ignored.
Yeah, and see me after school.
Absolutely, yeah. They were the two... that was one thing I remembered anyway. So.
Well, I guess that in my E, it were grand when I were a lad, because we used to use inches...
Back in the day.
Yeah, and there's some things that you should only measure in inches. Isn't that right, Guy?
Isn't it just?
Thanks a lot,
sometimes
mate.
Sometimes inches can be quite big.
Yes, that's right.
Cheers, Nick.
Cheers, sometimes they can be at least 2 inches each. Here is Wimbledon. Hello, Owen.
Hey, Nick. Hi.
All right. How are you?
I'm well indeed. What is going on with this apple and energy business? What on earth was all that about? It sounded like
you lost me. Once you started talking about fruit, I'd got no idea.
Well, I hope you were making notes. Did you write it all down?
I doodled. It looked like I was writing it down, but actually I was just doodling.
Actually, he was confusing kinetic energy. But we were talking about meteors and things like that. What did he want to know? Because I know a little bit about...
Okay. Well, this is what I said towards the beginning of the show. You saw you must have seen the Perseid showers, being an astronomer, right?
Yes, it was a big deal. I saw practically nothing. I've managed to get about 3.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing, and there was cloud cover around here, but I saw a few.
Well, I saw about half a dozen within the space of an hour, and I thought it was relatively clear. I saw many more stars and what I assumed to be constellations than I ordinarily do. But yes. Here's a question, all right?
Right.
Now, what was happening was we were passing through the tail of a comet. Now, by definition, the comet is going in one direction on a straight line, yes? So its tail is also following on a straight line, is that right?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. So as our atmosphere blasted through the tail of that comet, you would expect all the particles to be going in the same direction.
Yes, That's a reasonable assumption.
But they weren't.
Because in the sky, you saw some that came towards you and some that did leave, well, that left a trail. Is that right?
Well, some were going north to south, some were going east to west, west to east, northeast, south, west, all over the clock.
But they were all coming from the same, but they all originated from the same point. Is that correct?
No.
They should have done. Well, they had to have been, because if you looked in the sky elsewhere, there weren't any other meteors if you looked, for instance, south, or west, or northeast, for instance.
Well, I would disagree with that, Owen. I saw them over in the northeast coming southwards. I saw them over in the east going westwards, and from the south going north, and they're coming from all over the place. Well, here, there, and everywhere, baby.
You might have seen then some meteors that were not associated with that comet, the Swift-Tuttle comet, which is what it was. But as they come into the atmosphere, they move in all kinds of different ways. That they're travelling so fast that they're actual particles of matter, and they're actually these. I'm very careful not to say the B word. They are
the B word. Which word can that be?
Particles which decompose into very small particles, almost to their energy levels, and in doing so they move around a bit like rockets, so that as they hit our atmosphere it's a bit like a bullet going into the ocean. It's not going to go into in a straight line. It's going to whiz around all over the place, and it's a variable direction, so it's almost a bit like quantum.
Are you making this up?
No.
Just thought I might check.
It's part of high energy astrophysics. And you get what's known as a photon cascade.
God. Oh, you've gone too far. Here's another question. Well, if we're going through the tail of this comet,
yep.
Doesn't that suggest that if we'd arrived here earlier to this point in space, we'd actually have smashed into the comet?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. But, of course, Jupiter usually takes care of most of our rubbish, the cometary rubbish that, hits us.
No, but we've been going through the tail of this thing for eons, right?
Yeah, well, yes, it was the Swift-Tuttle comet.
So aren't we likely at some point to smash into it?
No, because it smashed into Jupiter about 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, is that right? So as a comet, it doesn't exist anymore. It's only the tail that exists.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the same Swift-Tuttle. Of course, Swift-Tuttle... the pair of them have identified lots of different comets, but I'm pretty sure that's the one that went into Jupiter.
Well, now I have actually learned something. I feel a little better now, because I was concerned about the fact that if we keep going through the tail, then that means that our orbits are similar. And
sooner
might...
or later, it's going to... Yes, the comet's going to hit us.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. But it doesn't exist anymore.
I wouldn't worry about the comets. There are far more... worse things than these asteroids that are orbiting the Earth. They're orbiting the Sun, and there's so many we don't know where they are. I mean, you know, some have taken 100 years, 200 years, or 300 years to complete their orbits. Some of which have narrowly missed the Earth.
So it could be like we'd be calling on a guy in the vest to come and protect us from something that we didn't already know existed that's coming our way.
Yeah, we'll have to get Bruce Willis and the rest of them to go up in some kind of spaceship in Newcombe.
Right. Well, fortunately, I know how that ends, and everything's fine. Nothing to worry about, Owen.
Let's hope it does.
Yes. All right. Thanks a lot, mate.
All right.
Cheers.
Lady.
Ta-ta. Bye. Oh, well, I feel much better there. Did you know that the asteroid that's associated with the tail that we've just gone through, that lit up the skies like... Well, it didn't really light up the skies at all, did it? It was just such a letdown. They were on and on and on and on they were going about, oh, it's going to be spectacular. It was like watching the world's slowest and most boring firework display. It really wasn't worth your time. But that comet doesn't exist anymore, so we're safe, Helen. She's arranging her facial features into something approximating a smile.
I've got a headache.
Oh.
Is this why people watch telly?
Huh?
All this physics.
Oh, to learn stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
It hurts.
Oh, you mean you don't have a headache, you just...
I just switched off, to be honest.
I tell you what's good for a headache. is a sponge covered in chocolate with a smashing orangey bit in the middle. Can I interest you in one of those?
Oh, please.
You'll have to come in and get it.
Thank you.
I'm doing a little show right now. I can't come in there. Here is Forest Hill. Hello, Karen.
Oh, hello.
Karen.
Last time I spoke to you, it was about crimpling. I don't know if you remember.
Crimpling?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a conversation I'd have.
I just ring in to talk about the thing about temperature.
Yeah.
But first of all, just a quick one about the apple. The first guy and the second guy were both right. When the apple's on the tree, it's got kinetic energy, which is the energy to do work. As it falls... it's got potential energy, which is the energy to do work. And as it falls, it has kinetic energy, which is the energy of motion. And as it hits the ground, it emits heat, so it's got thermal energy. Because energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It just changes from one form into another.
Oh, boy. My mind stopped working after about the third word you said.
I was ringing.
But I think that, in essence, I have potential energy in that I have the potential to do work, but it's the kinetic energy that I'm lacking.
And while you're sitting there, you're giving off thermal energy, probably.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yeah.
But the thing about hot air rising, the person who rang just now and talked about how cold it is in the...
In space, yeah, where no one can hear you scream.
He's got a point, because there is a phenomenon in weather where you get a thing called a temperature inversion, and you actually get hot air trapped under a layer of cool air. And in places where there's intense sunlight, like California, for example... Those are ideal conditions for ground-level ozone to build up, where you've got traffic jams and lots of exhaust emissions. And ground-level ozone is like normal oxygen that we breathe is two atoms of oxygen stuck together, but ozone is three atoms of oxygen stuck together.
Well, that would be better for you.
It's actually very bad for you. It gives
is it?
You,
but it's more oxygen, though, Karen. You're making no sense.
And, yeah, well, I just thought I'd explain that, but that
how can cold air get trapped under hot? Oh, I wish I hadn't asked that question. People will ring in and explain it to me.
Hot air under cold.
Right.
That's
a very bad thing.
It is if you're living in California, yeah, so just stay in London and you'll be okay.
Right, okay. Thanks, Karen.
All right, then, bye.
Cheers, ta-da. So that's maybe one of the reasons that Victoria was saying that she's pleased with her house. That's the only thing she's pleased about. It's the convection she's really upset about. It's, she's thought it all through. And the hot air is trapped under the cold air. And that extra atom of oxygen is really throwing her all out of whack. I've got no idea what I'm talking about.
I know. This is like a double physics lesson.
Well, it's like, all I need to do is to be wearing a brown corduroy suit and grow a beard. And I could be an Open University physics lecturer. Isn't that right?
No.
No. Not really, no. Here is Dartford. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hello. Good evening.
Betty.
I told Helen that she was quite right. I am in Kent, and I'm disabled and housebound and a sit all day. And it's been really miserable today, and the fire was on. But I told Helen she was quite right when she went out in the snow. I had the lounge door open, and a terrific draught came in. So I had to close the lounge door.
Yeah.
And as soon as I closed it, the room was lovely and warm again.
Wow. Have you had the fire on today?
Yes.
Oh, that's a bit over the top, isn't it, Bessie? Wasn't that cold?
No, it was only 17. Well, I have to sit all day. I can't walk. I haven't been outside the bungalow.
Right, so your blood doesn't move around your body like if you were running and jumping and skipping. Right.
Well, I'm 85. And I can't believe that you went to school with Jo Brand.
I did. Well, no, not school, university. She's older than I am.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's often on Countdown. She was on a fortnight ago, and from your voice, you don't sound as half as old as her.
Well.
And then you say in inches. I go in inches and feet and yards and everything. Did you do tables at school?
What, multiplication tables?
Yes.
You betcha.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, and we can still retain all of that information, can't we, Betty? 6/8 are 48, see?
48, yeah, and all the 75s and 25s on Countdown, I can do those before the clock started.
Well, you're better than I am, that's for sure. I can't do any of that stuff.
Away. Yeah.
And Joe Brand was on Countdown. Jo Brand was on that program.
She was on a fortnight ago, and she's she does all soppy things and talks, and she's saying she's got a nine-letter word and makes out. Right. And when you look at her, and then I listened to your voice, I thought, you don't sound as old as her. I can't picture you going to school with her.
Well, I didn't go to school with her, I went to university with her.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know she went, because she said so.
Oh,
she
right.
She took up nursing and this and that.
Yeah, she cares.
Yeah.
Me, not so much. Mm. Anyway, Betty, I'm past the break. We've got to go, all right.
Yes.
Keep that home fire burning. Thanks a lot, dear. Ta-da.
I'm in bed.
Well, like I said.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. What a nice lady. Yeah, Jo Brand. When I compare myself to Jo Brand, it's not the age difference that I think of. It's more the success of her career. And then I start holding my head in my hands and weeping uncontrollably, Helen. So we'll move swiftly on and say it's 8:46. Here's Travel Now with Karen Mercer.
Whitechapel High Street is still closed as
LBC 97.3. Nick Abbott. 0870-9090-973.
I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio, making a picture again.
We're ready for our close-up. Here is Tulse Hill. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Nick.
Andrew.
I don't know, you just sort of idly toss these remarks away in the course of a very interesting discussion about heat. And why do flies fly around in the middle of a room?
That's always got me. Apart from being very annoying, it's mystifying.
Flies operate really on smell and sight. And I was thinking it tends to be in the rooms which have got the curtains drawn, these gloomy rooms that, you know, that you go in and they're just sort of endlessly going around under in the... Maybe they can't find the way out.
Well, that's very true. The flies are so stupid. Why there's so many of them and they're that thick is a mystery.
They might be having fun, sort of, you know, you can't catch me, you know.
But they do. It's not. They don't do it in the corner of a room. They go right in the middle, right under your central light fixture. And they just lazily go around and around and around.
Well, they're sort of trying to judge the distance to the exit. And if they can't see an exit, maybe they sort of think, oh, well, if I keep on driving, flying, it'll arrive. Because they think they're going in a straight line, of course.
No, they don't. This man's a fool. Don't try and confuse the matter any more than it's already
confused. No, they don't actually... If you watch them, they sort of fly in straight lines and then do a vector and then sort of come back on each other, like tacking.
What's their vector, Victor?
Don't call me Shirley.
No, quite. All right. Well, you haven't helped, but thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Cheers, mate. Ta-da. No, they do. They. What is that? There must be some sort of fly expert. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, you've seen David Attenborough's hushed tones over films of animals doing things, the latest of which didn't have anything to do with him, and it's on YouTube, and it's the buff... Have you seen this thing? That's over 10 million people. Eventually, the entire world will have watched this tug-of-war between the lions and the buffalo. You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, you've got to dial up YouTube, and check it out. It is great. Better than anything... Well, not better, obviously, because the camera work is rubbish, but what you're actually seeing... You've never seen anything like it on a wildlife documentary. Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Giant herd of them with a little baby. Everybody,
a baby buffalo?
Yeah.
Okay.
No R's?
Yeah, R.
Was pounced upon by lions who they foolishly walked right up to. Maybe they didn't see them. Stupid buffalo. And then the lions, of course, chased after the buffaloes who went on their heels and ran. And the little baby... got caught by the lions, and there was who proceeded to sort of half drown it in the river,
right?
Whatever the river was called. And then the crocodiles show up, and there's a tug of war with the crocodiles trying to pull the little baby in, and the lions trying to pull it out.
Wow.
Well, I think.
And wow.
And then the herd of buffaloes come back.
No.
Yes, to attack the lions. You've never seen that on your planet Earth.
No.
Yeah, and they tossed a lion up in the air, and then they...
The buffaloes
did. There was like a pitched battle to get the kid...
You're making this up.
I am not. Over 10 million people, can't be wrong. We've all seen it. You've got to dial it up. It's great. But I was thinking the other day that the one thing that we've never actually seen... And would be fascinating, because they surround us all the time, they're so very annoying, is flies in flight. When have you ever seen a close-up picture of a fly in flight?
Because we've seen a bee, haven't we?
I think they, to get that, they actually nailed a bee to a plank.
They did. you could do it yourself, nearly. Have you seen bees when they're a little bit drunk?
No.
And they fly quite slow, don't they?
Drunk?
And you could get your little handheld, you know...
What, after a night on the town? I'm staggering out for a kebab and a quick fly.
I think it's nearly possible.
No, I think that when they do that, they do actually nail it to a plank of wood.
You'd see the plank of wood, wouldn't you?
Well, no, they edit out the nail.
They don't Photoshop it out, they don't.
Yeah, and then they close up on the little bee's face, which is contorted in agony, it being nailed to a plank at the time, but it can still move its little wings.
No,
either
no,
that or
no,
it's totally
no,
dead
no,
and they've
no.
just shoved an electrode up its...
Because bees go... They fly in the same line, don't they?
Yeah, but how would you get a camera to follow that?
Well, you'd find out where the line was, and then you'd set up a special camera, like a micro camera.
Oh, a special camera. Oh, well, you should have said.
Well I haven't got a special camera, but... Someone might have a special camera.
Right. I've never heard such a load of old rubbish in all
my life.
Well,
I don't believe you about the crocodile and
completely
the buffalo
true.
And the lions.
Selsdon. Hello, Alex.
Hello. Helen's right about drunken insects, but she's confusing them with wasps.
Wasps?
Wasps like to eat decomposing apples, which of course are really, really strong cider.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, me for one. You talked about Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think that's mad that he goes on fishing trips with the much younger man who stole his wife?
That whole thing is really bizarre. Yeah, we're not talking about films now. You mean in real life?
I know.
His wife was Demi Moore.
Right.
And his her new beau is
Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, crazy name, crazy guy.
Yeah.
And they're all happy families together.
They're all back slapping and drinking beer and hooking fish and it's crazy.
Because if I was Bruce Willis, I think I'd like to throttle Ashton Kutcher for many various reasons. First of all, he's having intimate knowledge of your ex-wife. And second, he's much younger and better looking than you are.
Intimate knowledge of his ex-wife who looks much better than she did 20 years ago. It's amazing what a couple of $100 million will do, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and a much younger lover, yeah.
You're talking about... Yeah, Bruce Willis. There was an advert in Viz magazine. Do you ever see Viz?
Is it still going? No, I haven't seen it in years.
Viz is still going. Now, what they do quite a lot is they put an advert in the magazine that you skim past thinking, oh, it's an advert. And later on, when you've done all the comic strips, you go back through it and see, have I missed anything? And you realise that this advert's a complete spoof of whatever it is. And it was Bruce Willis standing there in a vest with a cigar on. And so you thought, oh, it's another film. And you went past the advert. And I went back to it later and I looked at this advert properly and it said, Bruce Willis in a vest, 16. And it said it had an Oscar for best black man in a long coat flown through a plate glass window.
Well, that's something to look forward to. I can't wait.
Yeah, brilliant it was.
As long as it's in high definition and sense around, I'll be there.
Yeah, right.
With
the funniest thing they've got in Viz is the Profanosaurus at the end of the end of each issue.
Right, I bet we can't read any of it out. Am I right?
You're probably right. Yeah,
we'll leave it right there. Thanks a lot, Alex.
Okay, ta-da.
Viz, there's another thing that there's another reason what not to read books, comics. The Japanese don't even bother with comics because that comics have got words in. They just look at the pictures.
They have got words in.
What, manga?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
I thought they were just pictures.
No.
You've never read a manga comic in your
life.
Are you lying?
I've got some at home.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
I've got some in Japanese and I've got some translated into English.
Don't you find that a bit weird that as a nation, their adults are all reading comics?
No.
I do.
It's better than watching telly.
Well, they do that too.
Yeah.
They watch TV programmes that we used to scoff at. You remember Clive James used to have the Japanese programmes on TV? Look at what these crazy Japanese are doing now, he'd say, and they'd all be, in a jungle somewhere where they're being forced to eat insects. And come to find out, that's exactly what we've got now. We take all the rubbish from the world, distill it into television programmes, and then re-export it, in much the same way that we send all our old plastic bags to China for them to, I don't know what they do with it.
But in Japan,
yeah,
they'd take it one step further, wouldn't they? They'd have the guy in the middle of the jungle, trying to eat whatever super bugs they could find, surrounded by a buffalo, a lion, and a croc.
And a crocodile, yeah. I can't wait to see that.
That's
on YouTube.
That's great TV.
Again.
I'd watch TV if it was like that.
You've got the internet at home, right?
No.
You're kidding.
No computer at home.
I'm speechless. I'm not, but I could pretend to be. You don't have television and you don't have computer.
No.
You're totally cut off from the world.
I'm not.
You are. Well,
no,
you're not
I'm
cut
not.
Off from the world, but you're cut off from the new millennium. Certainly.
No, I'm not. I knew as much about physics as you did, and you watched the telly and have got a computer at home,
well,
and HD.
I'm thinking of being offended. Here is Wallington. Hello, Joan.
Hello.
Joan.
Hello, Nick.
How are you?
I'm very well, I'm not so well because I just realised why the butter's on the table. It's because I was going to eat the scone and I put it in the oven about a half an hour ago and completely forgot.
Right. Well, it'll be charcoal now. You'll be able to stick it in the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't...
Or you'd be able to do a nice sketch with it, something like that.
Oh, yes!
There you go. Always thinking eco-mentally.
You've got the physics there, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, I bet you were the one who understood magnetism at school as well.
No.
Ah, and I'm with Helen. I'm with Helen, definitely. No computer, no TV, and it's great.
How do you... I don't understand. How do you receive information on the world?
Well, the same information, more or less, goes on the TV as goes on the internet.
Yeah, but if you don't have either of them...
Hmm?
If you don't have either...
Either what?
The television or the pewter.
Well, no, the people who do the information, they feed it through into all the media. So you get it either on the radio or in the papers... Or people tell you, you know?
Right.
That's what people want to tell you. But I find that people who watch TV to get their news seem to absorb it totally and give it to you word for word.
Right.
Whereas if they hear it in the radio, they very often say, yeah, I heard this, but, and they've got opinions.
Okay.
And you know, they sort of qualify it and digest it in a different way.
Because radio is more of an interactive medium.
Yes.
Create the pictures in your own mind where you might also raise a finger of doubt, whereas television,
yeah,
on the other hand, is received with slack-jawed, open-eyed...
You zombie out. I zombie out. With television, I just go into another world and that's it. I'm
recline and dribble, yeah.
So I like the feeling of radio where I argue with it, and I'm also doing something else, so I'm in a real world. I'm doing other things, I'm in the real world while the radio's on.
I'd much rather not be in the real world.
I know, I know, it's so much better.
Yeah, listen, you know what's coming up? That's right, the bad news.
Right.
Yeah, I've got to go. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Ta-da, this is LBC. That could be a summary of the show so far. You're all wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself. Got no idea. I've been writing all this stuff down, something about staves and convection and... Oh, God, my...
What was the thing about ground-level ozone?
I lost the will to live.
Me too.
In the course of trying to learn that, yeah. I think I required detention, and I should see you after school.
Okay.
The amount of times I got see me in the, in red, underlined, in the margin of my... Oh, that the margins must be 2 centimetres in. We learnt that. Used to be an inch in my day.
Did you used to get, could do better as well?
Oh.
In red.
All the time. Up to this point in my life, could do better. Yeah, always.
Dobrand.
Dobrand did better. I could do better.
How do you measure success?
If only I had a brain. Money.
Is that scientific?
Yes, it is, yeah. You measure success, or at least in America you measure success by money. In this country, I think you measure success dependent on who you're born to. If you're born to the right people, in other words, rich people, then you are a success, my son, regardless of what you do. And nobody will bemoan your wealth.
Even if you're stupid.
Yeah, oh, particularly if you're stupid. They love it if you're posh and stupid and rich. But if you go out and make your money, then people will despise you for it. If you're born with it and you don't have to do anything for it, then we will doff our cap and say, you know, oh, God bless you, sir, ma'am, whatever it might be, and bow and scrape. And they're, you know, busy injecting cocaine in their eyeballs and just flipping through Lamborghini catalogues or... buying a new horse or whatever it might be, never having done a day's work in their lives. Those people we adore and respect. People have gone out and made something of themselves in their life, have risen above their station.
The Beckhams.
Those people we hate and vilify and pour scorn upon.
Like the Beckhams?
Like anyone who just does well. Yeah. Like the Beckhams, yeah. But the Beckhams are a weird case in point as far as how the nation thinks. I mean, we find Victoria slightly annoying because, you know, she just is. I mean, that face, just very irritating. Well, she... it's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with her face. It's how she arranges it for the camera. She's only got one look. She's decided that if she pouts, her cheekbones will come out more and it'll look like she's got bigger lips. So that's the only... She must practice at home, because it must be very difficult. Because everywhere you go, everywhere she goes, there's cameras all the time. And the only thing they want these days, used to be they wanted good photographs of celebrities. That's the thing that would get you the most money. These days, they want a photograph of a celebrity half closing their eye, like blinking. If you can catch them half blinking, then it looks like they're drunk. In the very next millisecond, they had their eyes open. But you caught the picture of them half blinking. It looks like they're pie-eyed, and that's the headline that you can write. Yeah. Or, you know, look with a giant spot on the end of their nose, or with their hair unkempt. Every day, the papers are full of something of that order, aren't they? And it's pointing and laughing, really. Well, you're not so good now, are you? That's weak, pathetic. Such is not the case with royals and toffs and aristos. We still, you know, are in awe of them. But people who used to be working class, who are now have risen above, well, we can't stand them in this country. In America, on the other hand, they're celebrated, regardless of how old or fat they get. Because you can't get old. That's another thing. If you're famous, you can't get old. That is unforgivable.
So success is being rich and young and beautiful.
Yes. It's your duty to be rich and young and beautiful.
And that's scientific.
It is a scientific fact, yes. And that has its own sound effect. There it is. Here is Stansted. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hello there.
Pat.
Well, so many issues tonight. It's been such a lovely evening. All these lovely people ringing in with lots of intelligent remarks, and yours as well.
Well.
Well, I'm sorry you put yourself down so much.
It saves time.
Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Well, first of all, I saw the clip about the lions and the buffalo.
Isn't it great?
It was absolutely superb.
And it's superb because of, well, it's superb for two reasons. First of all, you just can't believe what you're looking at. And second, it looks like, joy of joys, the little baby survives.
Yes, yes. But it was the mass gathering of that herd of buffaloes all getting together and going... For the lions,
yeah.
It was incredible.
Who would have thought that such a thing is even possible? In fact,
it was incredible.
The soundtrack does have the guides saying off camera they can't believe what they're looking at either.
Yeah,
in all the decades that they'd been in this Zaruda National Park, something like that, isn't it?
Mm. It was absolutely.
They've never seen anything like it either. You've got to see it.
Yeah. Now the other thing, flies in the bedroom.
Oh yeah.
Quite easy. Turn the light off in the bedroom, shut the bedroom door, turn the light off in the bedroom, leave the bedroom door open, put a light on somewhere outside in a hall or another room. The flies will go for that light, then shut the bedroom door.
Yeah, and the other way is to close the curtains apart from one window, which you leave open, and then they'll go out, because that's the brightest thing they'll see.
So that's how
to get rid of them. But I want to know, and no one's come up with an answer to this, why they always cling to the very centre of the room where, you know, it could be just a coincidence that that's where the light fitting is, but they do a lazy circle around the very middle of the room.
Well, I just wonder if the light bulb actually produces heat, and there again we're coming back to your other subject, the heat rises... And actually, it's warmer in the centre of the room on that ceiling than anywhere else.
But they're not on the ceiling, and
no,
the light...
No, they go round and round, don't
Yeah, but
they?
The light bulb is off.
But perhaps over the times, that is the warmest part of the room. Anyway, that's just one other thing. And the other thing is, to do with cold and warm, we always have a cool house, however hot it is outside, because the moment the sun comes up, we shut our windows and shut the curtains. Because we don't want the cool to go out. And yet people, I see them going, their houses are so hot because they've opened the windows and all the heat comes in. I don't understand why that is.
Hang on a minute. So when it's hot outside,
yep.
You close your windows.
We close our windows and pull the curtains on the sun side, and we have a house so cool.
All right. So you do have windows on the
We've got windows
in the north.
All the way around, yes.
Right.
But it does interest me because if it's cold, we shut our windows to stop the cold coming in.
Yeah.
But if it's too hot, people open their windows and the heat comes in. Anyway, that's just my little theory, but I know it works.
I think part of it is that we get so little of it, this year particularly, that if it's not actually snowing outside, we want to throw the windows open so we can connect with nature. Just get a little bit of fresh air, you know.
I know, but if it gets very hot. But, however, I think your program's smashing.
All right, thanks, Pat. All right, cheers, my dear.
And I was thinking about the school things. I can remember, I tore a page, I can remember it so clearly, tore a page out of one of my exercise books. It was physics exercise book, and I stuck it down with two little pieces of brown sticky paper, and there was a red line right through the essay or whatever it was I'd done, saying, how dare you tear a page out of your book?
Yeah, quite right, too.
Exactly.
Do you have no respect?
Yeah, but you didn't mess about with teachers like that.
No.
Or we had an English master who put a red line right through my book, and it was funny, right through my essay I'd done, he said, trite. And I thought, oh, he's made a spelling mistake.
Trite.
He meant to say tripe, because I'd never heard of the word trite before.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Even when you're not trying.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Okay.
Cheers. Ta-da.
Good program.
Thank you. Yeah, you did. You were fearful of teachers because in the good old bad old days, rulers weren't just for measuring things; they were for rapping you over the head if you spoke out of turn. Isn't that right, Helen?
I didn't speak out of turn.
I bet you did.
I did. I was too terrified.
What? You were a good little girl. You were.
I was good because I was stupid, so I just kept quiet.
Right.
I tried to blend into the furniture. I'm not here. I'm not here.
Yeah. I did that. Yeah. Well, for two reasons. First of all, you didn't want to be wrong. Like, if you gave an answer, you didn't want to be wrong. Because then the mirth would ensue. You'd get laughed at, you would.
Yeah.
And secondly, you didn't want to look keen, which was the worst thing you could possibly do. So, yeah, I was trying to be invisible at all times. But every now and again, you would, if you weren't trying, you would displease teacher. And there would be some sort of physical response. Either you'd get stood up front and you had to hold your hands out and he'd lash your hands with a belt, which really hurt, particularly in Scotland, because your hands would be cold all the time. Now, if they're warm, when we used to get the belt, we used to go in the toilets beforehand and warm our hands up under the hot tap, because if you got belted on cold hands, the pain was so immeasurably great. You were in danger of actually doing the worst thing you could possibly do in front of a class of your peers. Cry.
Yeah.
You had to take it stoically, like a man. Or he would, and that would be a ritualistic punishment. Occasionally you'd irritate the teacher and he had to do something right now. Would involve usually taking the duster from the blackboard. Which doesn't sound like it would hurt if thrown at you from across the classroom, but of course dusters weren't just dusters. They were a block of wood about 6 inches long and 3 inches wide.
It's like a brick.
With a tiny little bit of velvet or whatever that stuff was.
You were hoping that bit was hit you just to cushion it a little bit.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Less a duster, more of a wooden brick. Yeah. And it was as subtle as a flying wooden velvet.
Did you get the belt often then?
A couple of times.
Oh.
Yeah. I found that the teacher who was most keen to use the belt taught, can you guess?
Physics?
No.
Chemistry?
No.
Biology?
No, you're
maths.
Not. You're just saying things without thinking. You're just making a noise now. No, think. The subject in school whose teacher was most keen...
I know.
Go on.
Religion.
...is the correct answer. It's 9:15. Here's Travel Now with Karen Mercer.
In Bromley, Widmore, 7.3.
0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott. No time for the old In-N-Out, love. I've just come to read the meter.
Here's a lady in Old Amersham, wherever that is. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Hello, Anne. Where's Old Amersham? You don't know?
I don't know.
Oh. Isn't that where you are?
No.
Where are you? You don't know?
Beaconsfield.
Beaconsfield. Oh, that's a lovely part of the world, Beaconsfield. Couldn't be
lovelier. How are you? You do such a lovely show.
Oh, thanks, Anne. Doesn't Beaconsfield have the oldest pub in the country?
Yes, it does, darling.
What's it called?
I don't know. I don't get that.
It's a lovely place, though, as is the town that it's in, Beaconsfield. Oh, to
and
be
it's
in Beaconsfield.
So lovely now to have somebody like you.
Summer is here.
Who takes on everything and does everything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
I know nothing, but I'll take it all on. Yeah.
Oh, you're great.
Thanks, Mum. Told you not to call me at work.
Shut up.
Right,
hey,
here.
Look, I don't often call in.
Yeah.
But I will not always. I think you're great. I think the radio show is lovely. And I am so happy that you picked up my call because I think I've got a lot of issues.
Issues?
Yeah.
I think we're okay. Now, part of my mind is saying...
Warning! Warning!
What issues?
No, don't be naughty.
I won't.
Say that to my dog. Don't be naughty.
Your dog's called Don't Be Naughty.
No, he's not, sweetheart.
Oh, you say it to him?
Oh, I do.
Right.
Look, there's nothing being sorted out. We know that, don't we?
There's nothing being sorted out.
No, you're a great guy, and I love you to bits.
But...
No, I do. I love you to bits.
All right. Listen, thanks very much, Anne. All right, cheers, my dear. Enjoy Beaconsfield.
Am I being boring?
Well, I don't know what... Was there something that you wanted to say?
Yeah.
What?
I'm so upset about what's happening around here. Why... Tesco are allowed to destroy what's happening.
Right, well, I'm afraid we can't talk about that, Anne, but I wish you all the best, all right.
Why aren't we allowed to talk about
it? Well, because it's a brand name, see?
Oh, can I say something else?
Well, is it about Tesco's?
No.
All right.
No, I won't. Promise me. Promise you, I won't embarrass you.
Go on, then.
You know what they were saying earlier about push spice?
Yeah.
I do totally agree what people say.
What do they say?
That she is not a role model and that she is so totally allowed to enjoy her $22 million house.
Yeah. Yeah, she's allowed to, yeah. I just wish she wouldn't rub it in her face.
I know. And you are so wonderful.
Oh, there's no question about it, Anne. I tell myself that all the time as I'm looking in the mirror.
Totally.
Hey, are you sure you haven't been to that pub, Anne? I've got to go, but thanks a lot. All right. What a nice lady. That was Anne from Beaconsfield. Have you been to Beaconsfield? Oh, it is super fantastic. West. It's west of here. Fairly sure it's west.
I don't like West London.
You don't? Well, it's not West London. Not West London, mate. It's beyond London.
Is it?
Yeah, it's in Berkshire, that's a guess.
Oh.
Middlesex. Somewhere like that. Oh, it couldn't be lovelier. And I believe it's got the country's oldest pub, or at least that's what they say it is. But then you would, wouldn't you? It's all beams and beams that are too low. People used to must have been so short in the old days. Hundreds of years ago, people must have been no more
small.
Than 3 foot high. Yeah, because they put beams. Perhaps it was just the their lack of technological prowess that they couldn't build high up. No, of course they could, because there was cathedrals. So why do they put the beams so low? Is it because they all were 3 feet tall?
Yeah.
Is that your answer?
That is my answer. In those days, they used to build buildings that were people-friendly.
Yeah.
So they build them to the height of the person, whereas now we build buildings that are you know, gigantic.
Well, we used to. I think we've gone full circle in that in the sort of 1900s to, say, 1970, we used to build buildings with really high ceilings that were airy and light. You know, you remember windows, don't you? You used to have big windows and the high ceilings, and you see that if you go into older properties. These days, of course, the developers are building tinier. Here I go again, same subject. It's very important because in the 60s, with the council and therefore the government's encouragement, we built a lot of hideous buildings that nobody wanted to live in, right? These concrete monstrosities like Trellick Tower, and there's no amount of argument will persuade me that that is a great building. You know, the Trellick Tower out in the West End, it's west of London, part of the reason that you don't like it. Oof. It's a tower with the staircase and the the functions of the buildings in a separate... you'd know it if you saw it. Anyway,
right.
Very famous. Hideous. And we built a lot of these hideous concrete monstrosities because developers were unchecked. Councils just let them do whatever they want, usually because they were all crooked. We're doing exactly the same thing now. We're building no end of houselets with tiny windows that you virtually have to launch yourself out of to see outside. They're so small. And the reason that they're doing that is because the government said that all houses must mustn't let out heat. And the easiest way not to to keep the heat in a house is to not have any windows.
No.
So that's what they're doing.
Or people in them.
So tiny little windows and no cupboards. Same with flats. Microscopic. Too small for people to actually put their stuff in, which is why we've got an explosion of storage facilities. All of these people that... I'll tell you what, if you want to buy shares in a storage company, because nobody's got any room to put any of their stuff anymore. And so they're having to put them in storage.
But why don't the architects and the builders build houses and office blocks that are people-friendly?
Because it doesn't pay them to do it. If they can if they can cram twice as many people into the same amount of space, then they'll obviously make twice as much money. Because people are desperate, and so they'll buy anything, because there's no choice anymore. The only people who can afford space and light anymore are Russians. And shortly, Chinese and Indians. We can't afford any we can't afford any space anymore. And you know what? It's really bizarre. If you look at this country from space, which you must have done many a time, it's all green. Hardly any of it is built on at all. So it's... And we keep moaning on, we haven't got any space, We actually have got tons of space.
Have you seen the exhibition at the Tate Modern?
No, but it's last week.
Very good.
And I very much want to go and see it. Yeah.
Go and see it tomorrow.
Because I missed the slides. The holler? The heller? Holler?
Yeah. Hollow.
A halter, sculter. You know, the slides?
Yeah.
I saw them, but I didn't actually go down. Because the queue was, like, for 3 hours or something. You had to put your name down, and then they'd check your bags, and you could only take one bag on your flight, and you could take no liquids, and you had to, full-body search, and, it just went on forever. It was only a blooming slide. Why can't we just all have a go? Yeah, I was like that. I want to go on this slide.
We've gone.
Stop
now.
Whining.
I know they have, So I missed that. But I thought it was a bit... It's a bit weak. I mean, that's art. Putting a slide in a turbine hall, that's art. That's not art.
It was one of the weakest things I've seen, to be honest. But go and see this exhibition. It's really good.
The Anish Kapoor... No one's ever going to beat the Anish Kapoor. Let's not art for very long. But if you ever saw that, it was like a giant two-ended trumpet filling the entire turbine hall of the Tate Modern. And I could talk about Tate Modern for just a brief second. It's the most... You know, it's the most popular attraction in this... In fact, it's the most popular modern art museum in the world.
I know.
Isn't that shocking? There's hardly any art in it.
Have you been to see the Anthony Gormley?
Yes. I bet it was... I went on a Monday when it's half price. It's worth half price. It's not worth full price. It's okay.
He's getting on my nerves.
Well, he just does the same thing over and over again. There's a few things in there, but he just basically casts himself... and sticks a bronze statue of himself, and that's art. But that's not art.
If you think about it, what has he done? He has invaded the centre of London with statues of himself.
Well, I quite like that. You go out on the terrace...
How egotistical.
Well, yeah.
There's 32 or 3 or 1 of them. Mm. And they're fantastic. I mean, they do. They look fantastic. You know, he's at Crosby Beach. He's in... Trey's taken over the world.
Yeah, for one idea. I mean, at least Damien Hirst had a couple of ideas.
Well, I don't like him either.
No, I don't either. But his last show, he made something like £100 million in his last show.
Well, he's a businessman.
All of which was... none of which looked like art to me. Looked like a pile of old rubbish.
That thing he did with the skull.
Yes, covered in diamonds.
He set art back about 50 years doing that.
Well, he hasn't had a single idea that anybody...
Somebody else.
Basically, it's all nailing a urinal to the wall and calling it art. I mean, that's been done. And they're just doing the same thing over and over and over. But it's like... It's like anything. It is art if the right people say it is. And so many people have been conned into thinking that it's art that cutting a shark in half. He didn't cut a shark in half. Neither did he make the box that it went in. He didn't do anything. He just came up with the idea. Okay, I'm an artist. I'll come up with an idea. You remember the dogs that used to... The plastic dogs, or metal, or whatever they were, that used to stand outside newsagents that used to have a thing around their neck, and you put money in.
Yeah.
Help the... Whoever
the
it
blind.
Was.
Blind.
Blind, that's probably exactly right. Make one of those, 50 foot high, and cover it in gold. There you go.
Well, Jeff Koons probably done that,
hasn't
he?
That'll be £200 million, please.
Well, do it.
I don't have to do it. I just thought of it.
But go and do it.
No, I don't. You don't have to do it. You just have to think of it. It's the thought that's it. Where do I collect my money?
Well...
No, I'm serious.
In the slot.
You owe me £200 million.
I don't owe you anything.
You're going to be working from now to the rest of your life to pay me back.
I will anyways. Okay.
I don't want to be a struggling artist. I want to be a trillionaire.
Oh, go make that thing.
I'll have someone do it.
We'll do that then.
And then will you buy it?
No, I'll go and see it.
It'll cost you £200 million to see it.
I'll buy it.
It's actually cheaper if you buy it, yeah. Because then you'll always have it. And you don't have to pay £200 million every time you want to see it. You can always go and have a quick peek.
I'll sell it to Damien Hirst.
Now all you've got to do is find a garden big enough to take it. That'll cost you £1 billion.
Looking at the Polo S, sir?
Yes.
Well, it's got alloy wheels, front electric window.
I wonder if there's actual video footage of the police being peacefully removed from... I've never heard of such a thing. How do you peacefully remove 30 police officers? How do you... how does that work? You just ask them to leave and they have to go. You're looking at me utterly blankly.
What are you talking about? Was
the
that
news?
In the news?
Yeah, on the news, they said that, the climate change people, all those people who knit their own lunch.
I wish I was there.
Who all seem very nice people.
I wish I was there.
The press are ascribing all sorts of things to them. Which
I'd love to
actually
be there.
Will you shut up?
I wish I was there.
Yeah, I know, you wish you were there. I mean, you keep saying it like you want me to attack you for it.
Are they all teachers?
They look like super nice, Guardian-reading, sandal-wearing, muesli-chomping people.
There.
Really? I'd rather be in Barcelona, but you want to be in a tent in Heathrow. Right, okay. Why? Why do you want to be there?
Because I want to be with those people, because they're trying to change things.
Right. They won't.
Well, they might.
No, they won't.
But they might.
They won't.
What about the poll tax? People change that?
Yeah, but that's different.
How?
Well, the rest of the world didn't have to chip in. You see, if we're going to change the climate, if we're actually going to stop climate change, the entire world is going to have to go back to living in a cave tomorrow. We have to reduce our carbon emissions by 80% over the next 5-10 years. What we're actually going to do is reduce them by maybe 5%, if that. It's going to make
no
difference.
Let's make a start.
It'll make no difference.
Let's make a start.
We'll just delay it. The only thing...
That's good.
Which is why the Americans didn't sign the Kyoto Treaty and everyone was taking a deep breath in of shock. You're not going to sign the Kyoto Treaty. The Kyoto Treaty was going to cost them £3 trillion, not billion or million, trillion pounds, and would have delayed global warming by a matter of years. Not worth it.
See, nobody puts people first anymore. Architects put buildings first.
Yeah.
And everybody else wants to fly on cheap holidays.
Yeah.
Well, stop it.
I want to. So does everybody else.
I don't want a city break. I don't want to go to Barcelona.
Why not? Barcelona.
I hate city breaks.
The Ramblas. You hate city breaks?
Yeah.
Where did you last go on holiday?
Barcelona. Well, on a city break.
I hate Barcelona. Where did you last go on holiday? Barcelona.
On a city break,
did
sorry.
Did that actually just happen, or have I just...
My last holiday...
drifted into a parallel universe.
My last three holidays...
Yes.
...were in the Lake District, but my last
what,
city...
all three of them?
Yes, but the last city break...
Did you get rained on?
Yeah.
Each three
but
times?
I quite like the rain. But the last city break that I took was about 3 years ago to Barcelona.
Yeah. And isn't it great?
No.
Oh, but it is, though.
It's not. Why?
What's not great? What's not great about Barcelona?
On a city break?
Yeah.
You get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to catch a plane that goes out at five. You're treated like...
Well, there's your first mistake. What kind of a holiday is that? That sounds like a torture, not a holiday.
Well, a city break, you buy those cheap flights, don't you? So that they put you at a time when you don't want to go, which is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then you get there and you spend the afternoon in bed because you're ill from being up at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting through airport...
Mm-hmm.
And customs and finding your hotel. By the time you get there, it's nearly the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you're just sick.
Right. Next day, however, couldn't be more fantastic, am I right?
No.
Well, what happened the next day? What did you do in Barcelona?
Well,
how
I
can anyone go to Barcelona
stuff.
And not like it? I'm mystified. You can call me Mr. Fide.
I like the Gaudi stuff.
Yeah.
And eating in restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, walking around, just enjoying the Spanishness of it.
But I didn't like the bit at the beginning and the bit at the end of the airport.
Oh,
and
that had nothing to do with your actual holiday or Barcelona.
But how can you separate the two? It's the whole experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but you said that you didn't like Barcelona. You meant that you don't like Heathrow.
I don't like city breaks.
Right.
Do you,
No,
Nick?
You mean you don't like short holidays.
City... Which are called city breaks, aren't they?
Are they? Right.
Usually.
Like a weekend. In other words, trying to pack in a week's holiday in 2 days.
Yeah.
Right. Almost always a big mistake. Because on a two-day holiday, 1 day is travel. Isn't it? Like a whole day is travel. If you're travelling, that is not a holiday day. That's a travel day. Travel days are an absolute bloomin' nightmare.
Yeah.
But back to these people at Heathrow, who you'd dearly love to be with.
Yeah, I would.
They're saying all sorts of things about them. Oh, they're going to phone in bomb threats,
no,
and they're going to disguise themselves as passengers and go in and cause merry mayhem in the Heathrow town. They haven't actually done anything yet. They're just pitched up there, and they all seem perfectly decent Guardian reading types, and they're in their little tents and. They just seem like, you know, nice, if slightly, mistaken people. They're not actually going to make any difference. We aren't actually going to make any difference.
Well, if we all stop flying on those city breaks...
Yeah, if we did in this country, you're right, if we actually got a conscience and gave up our flat-screen TVs... And we stopped using the barbecue and the outside patio heater, and we turned our heating down in the winter, and all wore jumpers and fleeces and stuff like that. And we, gave up our cars and travelled on a bus. If we actually did all of the things that we're supposed to do, you know what? It wouldn't make the slightest bit of difference, because China isn't going to do that. They want all of the things that we've got. India isn't going to do that. They similarly want their flat-screen TVs and their fridges and, they would like the barest minimum. And so us giving up our absolute luxuries make no difference.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Well, that makes you wrong then, doesn't it?
And does that make you right?
Absolutely, yes. I'm glad that you spotted that. This is Raynham. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you, Nick?
Good, thanks.
Just going back to something you were discussing earlier about the hot air in one room, does the cold air come in or the hot air go out? And a heating engineer called in and said it was convection and whatever.
Yeah, he lost me.
Yeah, well, convection is a meteorological term for, like, a vertical movement of air, so it doesn't really help. But what does is the pressure in your house versus the pressure outside, depending on which pressure is higher, because high pressure moves towards low. So when you open your front door and open your back door, you always get a heavy draft blowing through?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's because of the difference in pressure inside your house to outside.
No, it isn't. It's because it's windy.
Yeah, on a still day especially. But that's what it is. And to dispel the myth as well about the atmosphere getting hotter, the further you go up, it's simple that for about every 1,000 feet you go up, you lose about 2 degrees Celsius, because as the air goes up, it tends to expand because the density is less, and its ability to hold the heat is gone. So as our atmosphere, so to speak, is heated by the Earth being warmed by the sun, the hottest air is on the crust of the Earth, and then it obviously rises, and the cold air moves in, and that's where your convection comes in.
So, right, so the air nearer the Earth is warmer because it's more tightly packed.
Well, it's denser,
yeah.
And it's getting the radiant heat from the Earth, because as the sun shines down on the Earth, it reflects off as well.
So, right, okay, let me see if I've got this, because I'm keen to learn something before I die.
Sure.
So there's the amount of molecules that are in the air, there's more of them the closer to the surface of the Earth you get.
Correct.
And so those molecules are what actually are picking up the heat from the sun in much the same way that we lie out in the sun and we get warmer. So do the tiny little molecules in the air. And because the higher you go, the fewer molecules there are in the air, there's more space in between them, which is not warm.
Yes, something like that. But as well, the Earth heats the air, not the sun.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're kidding. I got that right.
You did. Fairly close, anyway. But you know when it's in the city, specifically, where we've got a lot of smog in London, it's warmer because the radiant heat coming from the Earth is reflected back down because of the smog and the cloud level.
Good thing, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep us nice and warm.
Precisely.
Warming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not warm enough.
Breaks, you can drive to Wales and sit with 9 million other people and pollute it that way.
No, thanks.
It's much easier. Okay, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Cheers, mate.
Right. Apparently I was correct. Absolutely 100% correct in every aspect.
About what?
I've got no idea. Here is, hi, Wycombe. Hello, Edwina.
Hi, Nick.
Edwina.
Nick, you wanted to know what the oldest pub in Beaconsfield is.
No, the oldest pub in the country is in Beaconsfield, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Royal Standard.
The Royal Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's got a nice garden out the back, right?
Yeah, but I thought it was the oldest pub in South England. I don't know if it's the oldest pub in all of England.
It's a long time since, because this was when I was at university out in Brunel, in Uxbridge, and in order to seem like we had some money, we piled into someone's Honda Civic, and we just made it out to Beaconsfield, where, you know, rich people live.
Not everyone's rich in Beaconsfield, you
Yeah,
know?
I think so, everyone, yeah.
I mean, I'm in High Wycombe, Beaconsfield's not too far from me.
Right, well, they were rich compared to the people who live in Uxbridge, let me put it like that.
Okay.
And they had a sign nailed to the outside of the pub, which had very many words on it. I think some of them said, oldest pub in, and that's probably as far as we got, because we were rushing inside, because we had an appointment with the pumps. You know. But back in the days, I was drinking cider. Everyone else was like, cider? What do you want to drink that for? Come to find out, 20 years later, the whole country's hooked on it.
Yeah. And you wanted to know about Old Amersham? Where it was?
Oh, yes.
Do you know High Wycombe at all?
I don't.
Oh, right.
Where is High Wycombe?
Well, we're in Buckinghamshire, the same as Beaconsfield. We're not too far from Beaconsfield.
Okay.
But I was just going to describe that if you go up Amersham Hill, which is Buckinghamshire, and go for quite some miles in the straight road, you get to Amersham and just veer off. There's Old Amersham, and there's some lovely, lovely shops there.
Shops?
Antiques.
I remember shops.
No, but antiques and beautiful things.
Oh, lots of gorgeous things.
You can window shop, but... and dolls' houses and stuff like that.
Dolls' houses.
It's a lovely little place to go to.
There's a dolls' house shop.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't see dolls' houses, you know, for sale anywhere.
Outside of a costume drama on the BBC, you don't know.
The prices are enormous, but it's lovely, just a window shop.
Right.
It's a lovely place to go to.
Well, it must be one of the few places in the country that hasn't had its shops all closed down because of a giant out-of-town superstore.
Yeah, I think it's because of where it's situated. I don't think you would get that. I mean, there is a...
The posh residents would rise up as one and say, hell no, it won't go.
I think there is a big, one of those big stores up there somewhere, but not in Old Amersham,
right.
I don't think.
Well, it sounds a delight, Edwina.
Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot. Ta-da. So what have we learnt so far? I hope you're making notes. Are you making notes? I shall have to write "see me" in the margin.
I am.
Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Jamie.
Yes, I've got 2 points to make, really.
Go on.
Well, one of them, I've just got to say hello to Darth.
Hello, Darth.
Because he's been here, but he's gone back in time, and he's just come back 3 seconds ago.
Okay.
And
the second point?
Did you hear him?
I think, should we leave it at the first point? It's a very good place to leave, yeah. And that was a song from The Sound of Music. Leaving at the first point.
Do re mi?
Yeah. Do re... Who?
Me.
It's 9:45. Here's Travel with Karen Mercer.
Two lanes are blocked on the M.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
Come on, we're running late!
Here's Romford. Hello, John.
Hi, Nick.
John.
I googled the fly problem for you and, and found this. According to ScienceNet.org, flies that fly round and round because they are searching for a perch.
A perch?
E.g. a central light fitting, as it is the best position to fight off a rival and for attracting a mate.
Well, for a little hot fly sex? What a horrible thought.
Yes.
Well,
but a lot of them take a lot of time to make up their mind before they land on the bulb, don't they?
Don't they?
They keep going round and round and
yeah,
round.
Yeah, stupid flies.
But I tend to find it's smelly houses that attract flies.
Oh, thanks very much.
So keep the house clean and keep the windows open.
Yeah, it's your duty to be clean. Yes. Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, John.
You're welcome.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
See, that's what you get from the internet. Questionable information. Which we'll just take to be true, because we just can't be bothered checking our facts. It is like working on a newspaper here, isn't it? Whatever you first find out, just print that. Screw it.
What did we do before the internet?
Well, there were a lot of shops in Soho with plastic curtains that you had to go in. Apart from that, I can't remember. Here's Judith. Hello, West Kensington. Hello, Judith.
Hi, Nick.
Judith.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I was just... listening to your programme about old buildings. I come from Lichfield in Staffordshire. I moved to London quite a few years ago, and an old building I wanted to talk about was Dr. Johnson's birthplace.
Where's that?
In Lichfield, Staffordshire.
Oh, yeah.
And that is quite an old building.
Bound to be.
Yeah. And Dr. Boswell, which was his place, where he met Dr. Johnson, and we also had the Swan and the King's Head, which was a pub, which had an old coach house.
Well, that sounds a delight.
It was.
Why did you come to this horrible smelly place?
I moved for personal reasons.
Personal reasons?
Yeah.
Right. Less said, the better, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how do you like it so far?
Not bad. Not bad.
We should have put that on our posters. Mayor of London says, London, it's not bad.
Yeah, well, we won't go down that route.
Well, you won't get too excited. It's not great, it's okay, London.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I hope it gets better for you, Judith.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. Ta-da.
Thank you, bye.
Here is Temple Fortune. Hello, Nigel.
Oh, Nick, how's it going?
All right, mate.
You having fun?
Well, is everybody happy?
The sun's not out, it's raining, it's miserable.
Yes,
fun.
I know.
Oh, I was just prompted to call you, Nick, after the lady talked about her windows and how she keeps the heat in and the cold out and the cold in and the heat out.
Right.
Where I live in America, we do the same thing. You keep the windows, obviously the houses are air conditioned, but you the windows have blinds on.
Yeah.
And you shut the blinds and it stops the house heating up.
Right.
It's quite amazing how much heat it actually deflects.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But we don't have air conditioning, by and large, in our own homes in this country. See, that's a big difference in the States. That's why it's cool inside.
Yeah, but it still reduces the temperature by about 15 to 20 degrees.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even without the aircon on.
America's an odd place, because I never get used to walking out of a cool building into the warm outside. Because in this country, it's almost always the other way around.
Yeah.
It always feels strange. Even if you're going to Miami or LA or something that's going to almost guarantee to be hot,
yeah,
you need to take cold weather clothes with you if you're going to go into a shop. Because, especially a food shop, they're freezing.
Yeah, some are pretty cold. But the other thing as well, also, for when I go shopping, which we take for granted, when you're buying frozen goods, you've got to get them home pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because you're walking out into 110, 114 degrees heat, and your house is a few miles away. If you don't get it back to the house quick, it's going to turn or melt because of the extreme heat.
Well, some people in the state, I know people in America who, before they go out, before they get into their car for the day, they go out, start it up, and put the aircon on, and just leave the thing running in the driveway for 10 minutes before they'll go out and sit in it.
What I normally do, I normally go shopping late at night when the temperature's cooled down. But as I said, it's only cools about 90, so it's not a huge difference, you know.
Right, it's not a problem that we've really got here, is it?
Unfortunately, I mean, I'd love to be a lot warmer. I think we had summer just yesterday and the 2 or 3 days before, didn't we?
Well,
that was it.
Yeah, in the newspaper, I'll read that in a minute. It's very depressing, but you started it, and now I'm going to have to finish it. Thanks a lot, Nigel. Cheers,
have
mate.
A good night.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, did you do anything summery this year?
Pun?
Are you stunned by the stupidity of my question, or did you just not hear?
A.
Oh, right. Well, that's nice. Are you saying A as in...
the first one.
Or just A?
As in the first one.
No, I think you're saying A. Be kind. Oh, come on.
Be right, polite.
Say it polite. Again in a long sentence.
Right. Have you done anything summery this year?
Oh, summery?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking of... a summary of the show?
Oh, yeah. Can you do a summary for us?
Summary.
I want you to write that within the next 8 minutes. I want 100 words. And make sure that the margin is
crocodile,
2 centimetres.
Victoria Beckham.
Right, never mind about all that.
Reading week.
Have you actually done this?
Yeah.
Well, you...
make notes.
Let me see that piece
on
of paper.
You.
Hold it up.
Nick Abbott is...
is all of that the subjects that we talked about?
Yeah.
Good grief.
And
you are a phenomenon.
You would think by this list, this was quite an intelligent show.
Yeah, you'd think so, yeah.
You would think
if you hadn't had listened to it, yeah, you'd be under some disillusion.
Architecture we've got down here.
Oh, bound to have done, yeah.
High art.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Heathrow.
Yeah.
Mini brakes.
Mini brakes, yeah, I remember that well. You like them.
Ground level ozones.
Yes.
How do flies get from one room to another?
Did we talk about that?
We did, kind of.
Oh, with the lights on in the outside and they'll follow the light, yeah, right.
Musical staves.
Or staffs. We're not
staves.
Too sure, yeah. How do they go? EGBDF, FACE.
Hold on.
I'd only written that down.
Meteor showers.
Yes, meteor showers, right. And why they go from left to right and right to left and up and down and back and forth and to and fro and in and out. Well, that's it.
Yeah, well, there was more, but I've forgotten.
If only I'd been paying attention, I'd have really learned something.
After a major refurbishment, Nick Abbott.
I enjoy working with people.
Well, that's not true. I put up with it because, you know, until we come up with something better, people were stuck with them. Are you having a fag?
You know, no, it's my pen.
Oh, I thought you were... that's such a bizarre sight now, to see somebody smoking indoors. I thought, good grief, what a rebel.
It's extraordinary.
She's
isn't
a rebel and she'll never, never be any good. If only I had that on my little machine here. She's a rebel and you'll never be any good. Unfortunately, I haven't got that. So, have you done anything summary this year? I don't want a summary of the show. Think about it. Shepherd's Bush. Hello, Fred.
It's detention for you tonight, Nick Abbott.
Oh, no. You have to inform my parents if you want to... I have to have 24 hours notice. Now you have to have 24 hours notice. Are you even allowed to put kids in detention, or is that interfering with their right to express themselves freely by stabbing you in the chest as you're trying to teach chemistry? You're not actually allowed to raise a hand. Isn't that awful? Who would be a teacher these days? I mean, you'd have to be off your chump. I mean, good job that there are some people who want to do it, but really. Molly, hello.
Hi. I'm just so thrilled I've switched on.
early tonight, and I usually switch straight off because I can't stand that bloke. And there is my favourite man on.
Oh, who's that?
You.
Oh, right.
Could you tell me, are you going to be on every night at this hour?
No, Molly, I'm going to be on Thursday at this hour.
What are we today, Wednesday? Yes. No, tomorrow's Wednesday. Today's Tuesday, wasn't
it? Tuesday.
Yes, but you're going to be only on Saturday nights?
Yep, Saturday nights, and then I sort of mop up blank spaces in the schedule. And I'm mopping up...
Are we having that dreadful Lee back? I can't listen to him because I don't know what he's talking about, and you can't have a conversation with him.
Well, it's a generational thing, I think, Molly, but he speaks very highly of you.
Oh, I'm sure he should know what I think.
But anyway, I've got to go, all right.
Well, just tell me, when are you on next?
Thursday.
And Saturday.
And Saturday, yeah.
And next week?
And next week, I'm filling in for Clive.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have a good week.
Oh, thanks, Molly.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, my dear. Ta-da.
Yes, sir.
Here is, so have you done anything summary?
No.
Alfred. Hello, Al. Alfred? Al? Can I call you Al? I'll call you anything you like, just as long as I call you.
Hello.
You can call me Al. Hello, who are you?
Esther.
Can I call you Alfred?
No, that's my husband.
Oh, righto. How are you going, Esther?
All right. Tell Nick to get rid of them flies, get yourself a can of Raid.
Well, without mentioning any brand names, Raid?
Yes.
All right, you're on the air, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, I know, that will tell him.
Okay, all right,
and
thanks.
Get rid of all the flies, you won't have no flies.
Right, I'll just asphyxiate myself.
R-A-I-D. Raid.
If you didn't get it first time. Right. Thanks, Esther.
Bye.
Cheers, my dear. Ta-ta. Raid. R-A-I-D. Did you get that?
That's all we need to know from this show tonight, how to get rid of flies.
Yeah. Well, they're so very annoying. Every now and again, I think about buying fly paper, but then you'd have a piece of sticky paper that's got flies all over it.
That'd be disgusting. Repellent.
Yeah. So I'm just going to put up with it. I'll just not open the windows. Ever.
You know that Judith one who was on just a moment ago?
No.
She said that she moved house for personal reasons.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember now, yeah.
But...
None of your business.
No, but don't we all move house for personal reasons?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
I wonder what she meant.
Like I said, mind your beeswax.
Well, I'm intrigued now.
So, have you done anything summery?
No.
Nothing?
Well,
no,
like what?
No picnics, you know.
Oh.
Jaunts into the country, you know, going out and experiencing nature. I know that you don't like nature because of what it's done to you, but...
No. Have you?
Oh, yeah, well, I did a summary thing yesterday, in fact. And you know what? I think it was the last chance to do anything summary. I had a picnic in Hyde Park. It was a delight. Under slate grey skies, shivering, freezing cold we were. Going to get rained on any moment.
Did you have a little swim in the Serpentine?
Certainly not. The sun may already have set on Britain's brief summer, it says in the newspaper, after torrential rain and gale-force winds were forecast for this week.
Great.
Thunderstorms are likely tomorrow. Colder temperatures are forecast for the end of the week with no quick return to summer in sight. We've had it. That's it. That's about the most depressing news I've heard all year.
I love this weather.
So this show really has been, well, it's been extraordinary. I've never done anything like it, really. You'd have to say, in all honesty, it's been an education, hasn't it?
No.
No. Not really, no. Clive's next.